talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
It's breakfast time. Pancakes and syrup. Pancakes and syrup. Pancakes and syrup. It's breakfast time.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
VIG.
Would you believe a girl from L.A. would love Bill Withers?
Pretty uptight. Let's just say her butt is never not clenched.
You sound so ignorant with your generalization.
There's something going on and it's bad.
But you're wrong.
We have to figure out what's going on.
You're being quite rude.
Go home. Get a job. Get a job.
Am I on the air?
Sadly, the American dream is dead.
I'm not sure that that's true.
Whatever. The truth is stupid.
Well, who's doing the raping?
Well, that's all well and good, but what does Diplo think?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Musica, musica, musica.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Get his wisdom out of here.
Roll another one.
I believe that's what you call an observational view.
Just like the other one.
Second place, hell yeah!
This one seems to be about to quit.
I guess. So this is a crazy world we live in.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
Roll another one.
What are you old weirdos talking about?
Just like the other one.
You paint your bald spot?
This one seems to be about cement.
Oklahoma City, hello.
I don't have another cent.
Look at them.
One arsehole.
Which one?
Take your pick.
Like a garden, I dig it.
Just pass it around.
I love little girls.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
That sounds unnecessary.
I just pass it on down.
And now.
Could be a Mexican plane up there. They're getting ready to attack.
Our feature presentation.
He does good work, doesn't he?
Mexicans are ready to attack you guys.
Donald Trump.
Could happen.
Does good work. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday. It's the 15th of July.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. Hey, Jeopardy, right?
Yeah.
That's not a question.
You guys are with me.
What is Jeopardy?
Great. That's a great question.
See? Mm-hmm.
That is a fantastic question. Allie, you watch the show sometimes?
I watch it almost every night at 7 p.m. Thank
no
you.
No kidding.
We've had this conversation before. Yes.
I don't listen to you. I tune you out.
Well, that's shocking.
It's a tiny bit sad.
Jeopardy is awesome. I love Jeopardy. It's on a long list of shows, as we so frequently talk about, that I adore. But I just don't have time. You know, I get the limited amount of time that I have to watch whatever I'm going to watch that night, and that's it. And usually it doesn't include time for Jeopardy. But I love that show. Kevin, how about you? Jeopardy?
I don't need to watch programs that make me feel more dumb.
Hmm.
Well, so I can't really play along.
Well, what about Teen Jeopardy? I think you can nail like one or two questions.
Do they do Kindergarten Jeopardy?
Not yet.
Okay.
The reason I brought it up, Kevin, is there was a category on this week that I'm going to put money down that you could run the board.
That's what Bean does just before he asks me questions that I don't have answers to.
No. You're willing to bet against yourself? If I tell you that there's a category on Jeopardy this week.
Yes.
With five questions in a row, the 200, what is it, Allie? 200, 400, 800, 1,000, and 2,000? Is
yep.
that what it is?
Ish.
Okay. Five questions in a row, and I believe that you will get them all, and I'm willing to put money on it. Would you take that bet?
Yes, I will bet against it.
Would you risk it all with the Daily Double?
I don't think we've gotten to that point
yet.
I would bet against me knowing all five.
All right. Allie, what do you think? Now, I know it's a little unfair because you don't know the category, but it's a category that appeared on the real TV Jeopardy. So do you think there's a chance that there is a category that Kevin could run the category?
Absolutely.
You think yes?
Yeah.
I was just being nice.
Chip, how about you?
Is it about chocolate?
It is not about chocolate.
Then no.
Okay. The category was called Learn to Fly. Learn to Fly was the category.
I'm
Foo
changing.
Fighters? And it's all Foo Fighters questions.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, because Bean would not have thought that I know things about.
You're like the Wright brothers.
Airlines.
Keep going.
And I was so excited to see our little friend Dave Grohl get this whole category on Jeopardy. And I thought, you know what? If, I think many Foo Fighters fans who listen to this show and listen to this station would be able to run this category. So let's see how Kevin does. Remember, I've got a dollar on it. He's got a dollar against it.
Here's
betting against myself, but I am going to try.
Question number one.
The band's debut album was written entirely by Dave Grohl, primarily known until then for work with this band.
I would say that would be Nirvana.
In the form of a question, Kevin.
Is it Nirvana?
In the form of a question.
Did Dave Grohl sing and play drums for Nirvana?
Just say, what is?
What is Nirvana? Yes.
The upswing.
That is correct. It's a question.
It does sound questionable.
So I got one.
All right.
Wait, is that right?
It is correct, yes. Okay. And contestant Jason, I believe was his name, also got that category, so he continued on with the next question on the board.
Okay.
The name Foo Fighters comes from these mysterious objects known to pester pilots.
All right.
Is it UFOs?
It is UFOs. Yes. What are UFOs? Would be
boom.
The correct,
what are UFOs?
At. That's correct. Yes.
I'm posing that as a question, by the way.
I know you are.
You wouldn't get it right.
Is it UFOs as a question?
No,
know,
that's,
but that's not what they.
Not
ask.
How they do
well,
it.
That's a dumb show.
Well, it's so, not. It's the best.
Is that right?
Jason, yes, it is correct. Okay, Jason also got that one right. That was the last question that any of the three contestants able to buzz in on. So the next three, none of them got. I still hold out that Kevin will get them all.
There goes this person. He's ordinary. In a song whose video showed a building on fire.
All right.
What is My Hero?
You are correct, sir. Yes.
Thank you.
You are now better than any of the contestants who were on that night.
Foo Fighters for 1200, Alex.
Was this a documentary of the 8-city recording process accompanied the 2014 album Sonic Thieves.
What is Cities?
Mm-mm.
What is highways? Highways.
Yeah. I just lost.
I wasn't finished. I wasn't finished. I was working it. I was working it through
out loud.
Alex would sass you so hard right now.
Well, Alex, a dick.
That sometimes
because I wasn't done.
I know.
I had a dollar down on Kevin running the category.
Highways.
Yes, it's highways. Oh, I'm so disappointed in both of us now.
You should have known better.
Me for putting my faith in you. You for being you.
Yeah.
All right, just for fun, let's see what the last one was. Whatever.
David Letterman could have chosen many, but he wanted and got this for his last Late Show song.
David Letterman.
He made a big deal out of that. It was his
last
favorite
episode,
song of all time.
It was his favorite song, and he had Dave Grohl come out and sing it.
That was his favorite song of all time. I'm going to go, I don't know this one. Everlong.
That is correct. Not in the form of the question, but yes, that is.
Is Everlong the answer to that question?
What is Everlong? I'm going to say you should not be a contestant on Jeopardy.
Right, but I'm going to say I did pretty well.
Absolutely.
Considering
Kevin.
It's me, so let's call it a push, Bean.
Well, as long as I don't have to give you the that push, then I'm
fine. That's the push, yeah.
It's a push then. Well done, then.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBean Show, shall we?
For heaven's sake, you're drunk, and you're being very menacing right now.
I was editing Beer Mug's interviews at the Ghostbusters premiere last night.
I'm very excited. Can't wait.
And we may be working him too hard, Bean.
What do you mean?
He's losing it.
Losing it,
No, not in confusion.
Okay.
In patience?
Oh, well. No, Muggs is the sweetest.
No. Nope. In I need to go home and get something to eat and sleep, not necessarily in that order.
Oh, he's a new father. You know what that does to you.
Yeah, this is a different Muggs.
Oh, no.
He's still Muggsy, don't get me wrong. There's still some pretty amazing stuff on here.
But Melissa McCarthy shouldn't have to put up with that.
And he does talk to Melissa McCarthy.
Awesome.
And he does talk to Kristen Wiig.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow. Very impressive.
So that's today on the Kevin and Bean Show. We also have IGN's Alana Pierce talking about Pokemon Go. Why do I always call it Man? Why? I know it's Mon. Pokemon
it is
Go?
Pokemon, yeah.
What is Pokemon Go?
We have a lot of questions about the way the game works.
Patrick Fugit?
Love.
In studio, talking Outcast?
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
Nope.
Nope.
Nope, that's the band.
No.
It's a TV show.
Very different.
It's a TV show on Cinemax.
So much Satan.
So much Satan.
A lot of Satan.
So that's coming up this morning on the show. We also, did I mention Comic-Con tickets?
No.
No, but that's good news, too.
We have Comic-Con tickets as well.
What about Rob Corddry? Would he be coming on?
Did I mention Rob Corddry?
No.
What is Rob Corddry?
1, 2, 3, my baby don't mess around.
No, that's still Outcast. That's still... I don't know.
That's the band.
Okay, I got you now. Yeah. Okay, so Rob Corddry's in Outcast. I got it.
Yes.
No, he's in, Rob Corddry's in Ballers.
Oh.
Oh, and they open
Patrick Fugit is in Outcast. No. This is a TV show on Cinemax.
Gotcha. I'm with you.
I don't think you are.
I don't care that he isn't.
I hope we get it sorted before we talk to Patrick.
I don't.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. Hey!
Not even close.
Look, it was close.
Yeah! What's going on?
Now we're talking. Now we're in business. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday morning. Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Well, I've turned around completely.
On?
I've done a 180, as they say, or a 360 if you're Kevin.
Right.
But I'm completely taking a new point of view on this wildly popular subject matter.
Okay.
Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go.
So you're in.
I'm in.
Great.
As of yesterday, I am all in. I'm pushing all my chips to the center of the table.
So you downloaded it and you're starting to play?
Nope.
Oh.
Here's why I'm all in. Because a dumbass named Lane Smith in Fort Worth, Texas, was playing Pokemon Go in Parker Square Park. And was just looking at his phone, not looking where he was going. And he stepped on a copperhead snake.
Oh, no.
Turns out they don't like that, copperhead snakes. And the snake bit him.
Does the snake not like the game?
I have no idea how it feels about the game. It does not. I think the snake, if it could speak, would say, "Don't tread on me."
He doesn't.
And that's just what Lane did. And he got bit by a copperhead.
All right, good.
Then, I don't know if you heard about it in Encinitas. Down in Encinitas, two men were walking along San Diego's North Country playing Pokemon Go when both of them stepped off a cliff.
Oh.
Fell off a cliff, fell about 80 to 90 feet down the cliff onto the beach.
Are they okay?
Both men were taken to Scripps La Jolla Hospital. The extent of their injuries was unknown. One man was conscious, the other one was unconscious about 50 feet down the cliff. And it struck me, this is the way to thin the herd. This is
it. It's Darwinism.
This is the way we cleanse the palate of the human race.
Hmm. I like it.
Let the Pokemon goers... just go, man. Just keep going. Because eventually it's going to be, it smells better here, it looks better, and all the Pokemon goers will just be gone. We'll call it Pokemon Gone.
I like it.
I do, too. So keep playing, dumbasses. Keep stepping on snakes and falling off cliffs. You know what you call that? A start. That's what you call that.
Correct.
Right there. That's what you call those stories.
How about that whole... How about that whole deal?
Right?
Good point.
True.
It is. It's a cry and shame. It's a hurtful situation. It's sad beyond belief.
What is?
When a playmate goes bad.
Oh.
And this is Danny Mathers. She's bad news. I don't know if you saw the news yesterday, but apparently she was working out at the gym at an LA Fitness, and she saw a woman who was not blessed with the biological lottery that Miss Mathers has been blessed with.
Right.
Nor the surgery, I'm guessing. And she saw a woman in the shower that she thought was unattractive and out of shape. And so what she did was surreptitiously shoot a photo of that woman with her camera phone.
Naked.
Naked, in the shower. And then posted that photo up on Snapchat with the caption, "If I can't unsee this, you have to too." and sent that out to all our followers.
Well, there's no expectation of privacy in a,
wow,
a gym shower.
No, if you're showering, everyone should be able to take your picture whenever you want, right?
What a horrible person.
Well, that's what the internet said to her. And that's what also the police now are saying to her.
Oh, good.
Because it has been established that she was indeed the one who took the photograph. And now they're having a conversation with her because that turns out to be against the law.
Yeah, it's a voyeurism law, isn't it?
Seems like it would be, yeah.
Several different statutes that say you can't do that. And besides being against the policy of LA Fitness and every other decent gym in the world where you can't use photographs in the locker rooms or the showers. And she had the worst apology in the world. I'll pull the audio for the next show, we'll talk about it. But she went on and said, oh, that was for a girlfriend of mine. I didn't mean to make it public. Hee 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 hee. I'm not that person. I would never do that. But except you did do that.
And
it's not about being public or private. It's about doing it. And you did it. So, boo on her. Boo, I say.
And let's be honest. If she was a man, she'd be in custody already.
Yeah, probably.
Well, if she's a man, she shouldn't be lurking around the woman's showers in the gym, first of all.
True.
I think that would be the first.
Another good point.
That would be the red flag. I'd say, hey, wait, there's a dude in here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Disgusting.
I'm so tired, too, of the men at my gym constantly taking nude pictures of
really?
Me.
Really?
Because they use it for motivation. You know, they use it, they put it up on their fridges or on their workout tables.
Uh-huh.
Do they have to zoom in, though?
And they...
have you seen this, or you're just assuming?
And they say, that's what I aspire to. This is life goals unlocked.
A guy has told you, or he's shown you this, or you're just assuming that that's
yeah,
what?
I see him. I corner see. My eyes. You hear the... You hear that, you know? I can't say that I blames him.
So what this lady did is so awful, though. She doesn't even get the usual Kevin and Bean hot girl exception, right?
No.
She's a bad person.
She's gone from beautiful to evil and ugly.
Right.
With one callous body-shaming adventure. What kind of person even does that? To a person who's at a gym trying to improve their health and appearance, you're going to take a picture of them through a glass door and then shame them publicly? What kind of person is that?
That's hard to even comprehend.
Where's the thought process?
Next level evil.
And look, we're all guilty of occasionally looking at something and going, oh boy. But that's the extent of it. And even after that, you should sort of feel bad about yourself for even thought that. Let alone taking it to the next step, taking pictures and posting them online. Ugh, hope she plays Pokemon Go near a cliff sometime soon.
I get it.
Do you?
That's good.
Thanks, guy. Guy who gets it. Today's celebrity birthday is Terry O'Quinn. How much do we love Terry O'Quinn? From Lost. He was Locke.
He's the best.
That's right.
64 years old.
X-Files, today. Millennium. So many great shows he's been in.
Stepfather. He was the stepfather. Oh, that's a scary movie. You ever see The Stepfather?
I don't think so.
Oh, boy. Scary.
I was thinking Stepbrothers when you said that.
Were you?
Yeah.
Because
it's
I
not
said
the same,
Because I said you The said Stepfather, step. So you were thinking Stepbrothers?
And then I tuned out.
Step?
But then didn't say that out loud.
I heard Step Up.
Wrong movie, right?
Step Up?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Forrest Whitaker's 55 years old today. Comedian Eddie Griffin is 48. Scott Foley turns 44 years old. Brian Austin Green is 43. John Dolmayan, System of a Down drummer. 43 years old today as well. Gabriel Iglesias, our buddy Fluffy, turns 40. Diane Kruger's 40 as well. Ray Toro from My Chemical Romance. He's the guitar player for that band. 39 years old. Travis Fimmel. We've had him in here on the show. Charming guy. Very nice. Travis. He's the star of Vikings over there on the History Channel. Mm. 37. You all right?
Yeah.
37 years old
nice.
Today. And actor Taylor Kinney from Chicago Fire. Also known as Lady Gaga's boyfriend, it says here in my notes.
Okay.
35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's the return of our old friend Rob Corddry from HBO's Ballers and Children's Hospital, which I forgot until today is not on the air anymore.
Yeah.
That makes me sad.
How sad could it make you if you didn't even
if you
remember
just thought about it?
Because I had forgotten about it, because the pain had receded to the point where it wasn't on my mind anymore. But today I realized, there's no more Children's Hospital. Anyway, we love Rob. He's going to be joining us coming up at 7 o'clock plus beer mug on the green carpet talking to the cast of Ghostbusters. Speaking of Ghostbusters, it's time for the movie beat. Hit it.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies,
Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
It's crazy after all the years of working together how you two almost read each other's minds.
Yeah, the synergy is just...
You don't even need to...
He switches it up every time.
You don't need cues?
The other day I told him, Bean, I need to know if you're going to say hit it, Steve, or not.
No, you don't need
to... Steve needs to know.
I'm going
to
change it up.
You guys are connected on a deep, deep... spiritual and psychological level. It's exciting to watch. We do have four new movies in Cineplexes this weekend you may want to check out. Some in limited release, some in wide release. Let's kick things off with a little film called Equals. It is about a futuristic society where there's no emotions. It's utopia because no one has any emotions.
Oh, is Bean king?
Bean is the king of the emotionless people. However, two people contract a mysterious disease, a young man and a young woman, and the repercussions of that disease is they start to regain their feelings. It causes them to fall in love with each other, and that creates, as you can imagine, tensions between them and a society that's dead inside. It's called Equals. Here's some clips from the trailer.
Remember, physical contact or displays of feeling are a danger to all of us. Let's do our part to help contain this disease.
I've been watching you. The way you look at the world, the way you experience things, is different.
This has to stop. If it continues, I'll be forced to report you.
I can't stay away from you. I can't not be around you.
I didn't realize what would happen if anyone saw this. It can't happen. You know that. Do not risk your job. Do not risk your life.
Film stars Nicholas Hoult and Kristen Stewart. And who better than Kristen Stewart to play someone who's dead inside? Speaking of which, excuse me, I'm so excited. It's a Kristen Stewart double feature.
Oh.
She's in two new movies this weekend.
Huh.
How exciting. She's also in the new Woody Allen film. Jesse Eisenberg, Kristen Stewart, Steve Carell, excuse me, and Blake Lively, all star in the new Woody Allen film set in the 1930s. About a young New York man who moves to Hollywood and falls in love with the secretary of his uncle, who happens to be a high-powered agent to the movie stars. Then he returns to New York, and he's swept up in the high-society nightclub life. Woody Allen loves jazz in the 30s, and that's the backdrop for this film. Here's a scene where Kristen Stewart is telling Jesse Eisenberg, who stars in the film, about her boyfriend.
Doug is a journalist.
Oh. I just thought since you had so much free time on your hands...
He travels... a lot. And I really like spending my time with you. I hope that's okay. You know, you're very sweet. Have you heard that before? You have this deer in the headlights quality.
Thank you. Well, if I was your boyfriend, I would not travel. Or if I did, I would take you with me. I hope he knows how to kiss you and all the rest.
It's between us.
Oh,
very Woody Allen.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
What is your guy,
your Kevin, problem? You probably haven't been horrible. Going to see him, Kevin, but Ralph and Allie, what have your takes been on recent Woody Allen films?
No, thank
Are you still on board with The Woodman?
No, thank you.
Oh, yeah, he's still great.
No, thank you.
I liked Magic in the Moonlight a lot. I liked Blue Jasmine a lot.
Blue Jasmine was brilliant.
No, thank you.
Midnight in Paris was good. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Do you just not like Woody Allen in general?
No, I don't.
Yeah. I guess it's easy. Either you like him or you don't. That's The Woodman right there.
The Woodman.
The Infiltrator, just talking to John Leguizamo about this film. Bryan Cranston stars, along with John and Diane Kruger, Amy Ryan, about undercover U.S. customs officials having to go under and find a money laundering scheme involving Colombian drug lord Pablo Escobar. True story about the men who put themselves in harm's way to try to bring down this drug cartel. Here's some clips from the trailer.
Listen up. Washington wants to make the biggest bust in U.S. history. Pablo Escobar and his main distributor, Roberto Alcano.
Are you kidding me?
Responsible for 80% of the product flooding into the country.
I know these people. You got to play with them. You got to drink with them. You got to do whatever you got to do, man.
In my business, nothing good ever comes in the absence of trust.
This was an audition. You got the part.
Yeah! Infiltrator. Infiltrator. They infiltrate.
You had me at Bryan Cranston.
Right? And lastly, Ghostbusters!
Yay!
You've heard so much about this film. Now, see it and judge for yourself whether the reboot holds up against the original or not. Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Kate McKinnon, and Leslie Jones are the new generation of Ghostbusters. Following a ghost invasion of Manhattan... they got to strap on their proton packs and take them down. Yeah. Slimer. Ghosts.
Already have my tickets.
Bustin'.
You guys are going right after
the
show,
theme.
Right? When are you going? Where are you going?
Arclay.
When?
Why?
Good. I want to see there. I want to sit behind you and throw popcorn in the back of your head.
I'm going to be there at,
hey,
you know.
Does this bother you?
In
does this bother you?
In evening.
Does this bother you? I'm just going to pelt you in the back of the head with popcorn.
Late afternoon, evening.
All right. I'll just be there.
Late
I'll just
night,
be there
maybe.
Waiting for you.
Yeah.
Liam Hemsworth is the eye candy in this film. He is the secretary receptionist for the Ghostbusters, and he's pitching in, too. Here he is. He comes up with an idea, a logo for the team.
I asked Kevin to throw together a couple of logos for us. Oh, you do see how this might make us look bad.
Is it the boobs you don't like? Because I can make them bigger.
See, he's going to make the boobs bigger.
His dumb name guy. Is Kevin.
The dumb guy is always Kevin.
Yeah. Isn't he dumb?
It always works out that way.
Yeah, and in movies, too.
Yep. What the? See, oh, what you did?
See,
you
he said meant
that.
You
turned that on its head. We all assumed you meant movies, and then you zinged him.
Charbroiled.
So those are your picks for the weekend. Join me as we pelt Kevin with popcorn while he watches Ghostbusters, won't you?
I'd rather you didn't.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Pokemon Go, you guys.
Mon.
What, huh?
Mon.
I said Pokemon Go.
Okay.
The most successful mobile phone game in history so far, by the way. And it's just now being rolled out, I think, in the last few days. Now it's in the UK, it's in Spain, it's in Portugal, it's in Germany. Here in America, you can't walk outside without walking into somebody who's on their phone looking for one of these characters to catch.
It's only been a week, right?
That's mm-hmm. right. It was last Thursday, so 8 days today since it's been available here in America. And finally, our friend Alex Jones, conspiracy theorist from InfoWars.com, has weighed in.
When now, you say our friend,
we
you mean we love him.
We love him.
Because he's complete nonsense.
He crazy. Right.
Yeah, okay.
But he makes a lot of good points. Now, this is a very subdued Alex Jones. We're used to seeing him in his studio mm-hmm. sweating up a storm. He's relatively calm because he's outside playing Pokemon Go while he's taping this. All right? So here's what Alex has to say.
And we see the social engineers pushing as hard as they can to get people to tune out of the real world, this incredible planet hurtling through space, and our amazing moon, and all the other things that are happening on our planet, and dial into artificial systems created by Nintendo, or by Microsoft, or right. by Google, or by Apple.
We get it.
They are creating the universes in which we interface.
All right, listen to this.
Instead of humans living in the real universe and being creative, sentient beings yourself.
Whoa.
They are building false realities into which they want to induct you so they can play God.
All right, so these companies
so
are trying
they
to
can
get you-
play God.
I was yes. with them until that.
What does that mean?
What it means is you'll now spend so much time living in a virtual reality that they can get you to do whatever they want you to do. In fact, he goes so far as to say on his InfoWars website that the developer of Pokemon Go, the Niantic company, was founded by a guy who had received funding from the CIA to develop Google Earth. And here's the quote. Software that could theoretically turn millions of smartphone users into imperial probe droids who take real-time ground-level footage of their cities and homes, reaching into dark alleyways and basements with spy satellites and Google cars can't reach. So it's all a conspiracy, you guys, that this Pokemon Go is just a way to get on your phone and to control
we
you.
We are being used by the government to
was,
do
yes.
their work.
I thought it was just a game.
No, 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 no. Let's find out more about this because you may never want to play the game again if what Alex is saying is true. And he joins us from InfoWars.com back on the phone on the Kevin DeBeach right now. Hi, Mr. Jones.
Not only should you not play the game, but you should destroy your smartphones because they are absolutely using you as imperial drones.
We can't just delete the app?
Of course you can't. There's other ways they can find you when they track down you with this technology. There's no coincidence that this is happening from a man, John Hankey. John Hankey, the founder of Niantic Incorporated, also used to work with InQtel. It's a CIA venture capital firm to develop and find new ways to get more information on you and the world. They're using us to map out the world so they can take us into their virtual reality situations.
Okay, I understand that there were some complaints that they can access your Google email address, for instance. But that's a far away. There's a great distance between that and what you're suggesting, which is that they're going to run our lives somehow because we have this app on our phone.
How is that a large leap when this man, John Hanke, as I mentioned, used to work for the CIA? That's what eventually developed Google Earth. That's why they're mapping us on every possible level to learn every place, every square inch where we operate. It's all a giant conspiracy in order to operate and own us inside an augmented reality. That's why all the new osteoporosis treatments turn your bone marrow into Legos.
What?
Okay.
Wait.
You lost me.
At the end there. Not positive.
So what can the government do if they see the route that I take to work every day or they see where I'm having dinner at night? What good is that information to
you're
them?
You're doing the work for them. Every route that you take, if you're using your Pokemon Go, you just take that footage and they use that to infiltrate and to and absorb all the information about all the locations that you're operating in. They add that to their database, and the next thing you know, you're getting the Canterbury Tales read to you by the cast of Baywatch.
I feel like I was understanding what you were saying right till the end. Well, like
it's a simple equation. If you look, as soon as Belgian waffles start becoming made out of cauliflower, it's only a matter for the protozoa in the tap water to become nanites.
Okay, none of that makes sense, Alex.
Of course it does.
Right, it's Mad Libs, though, is what you're playing.
Well, it's time for you to pull up your culottes and take your castanets out of their case.
And that means what?
I do love culottes.
You have to ask yourself a question. Why are radial tires made out of Idi Amin's concubines?
Who would I ask that question?
Angela Merkel. How come Angela Merkel will no longer allow us to have Tang? Because she knows when the astronauts took Tang into space, it turned their penises into slinkies.
Look, we're trying to hang with you here.
We really are.
And we're trying to understand what you're saying, but I feel like maybe you're talking over our heads a bit.
I don't believe so. You're just not listening. If you use the Pokemon, it's only a matter of time before ampersands start invading all of your areas. Then next thing you know, all of your innards will become your outards, and then, of course, the penguins will show up.
Oh, no, not the penguins. Yes.
They're so cute in their little tuxedos.
Yeah, they are.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
Talk to Rob Corddry right after 7. Ralph is here now with another Showbiz Beat for a Friday morning. What's going on?
You know, speaking of, I heard you guys talking to Alex Jones about Pokemon.
Yeah.
He seemed very concerned about it.
This came in from Edwin. I didn't realize this. He said, I just got the patch for Pokemon Go featuring K-Rock personalities. K-Rockimon, it's called. It allows you to catch K-Rock personalities as you walk around with your phone. I had no idea. Hmm. He said, I went to Cantor's Deli and caught Rodney on the Rock. Went to Bourbon Street and caught Bean. Went to Hot Topic and got Beer Mug. I have not been able to catch Allie because she lives in her car and moves around too much. She is the hardest to catch, writes Edwin. So if you can get Allie, it's extra points, apparently.
Am I like the most desirable one to get?
Yes, you're like the Pikachu of K-Rockimon.
It's the nicest thing you've ever said. Thank you.
Sad.
We have tickets to give away to the San Diego Comic-Con. How great is that? It is. It's a great event.
Listeners get to sit in with us on our live broadcast? Are they going to get to meet the stars that we're going to be interviewing and kind of hanging out with us around?
I don't believe there will be any.
Maybe you didn't get the
broadcast.
They're going to go with us down to the convention floor.
This is awkward.
Maybe you didn't get the update on it.
I thought that we were leaving.
We will not be there so much as not being there.
Sit down.
Oh.
But we are sending listeners, and that's more important than us going, right?
Not to me.
Nope.
Yeah, not to me either. Just trying to put a positive spin on it, make us look like heroes. It's our last pair. It's a pair for one day at Comic-Con.
Okay.
And that's all you need. Go down there, just walk the floor all day long, just till your feet are just raw, just bloody stumps.
I'm not sure you want to.
Keep walking. It's an amazing event, and these are the last tickets. We want to make this particularly hard to earn. We want to make you really work for it, because this is a hard ticket to get. Trust us, we can't get them, but you can. And what we're going to do that, instead of just the usual trivia game or something where I ask you questions about superheroes or science fiction, we're going to play a brand new game. And here's how it's played. It is going to be one word in each Showbiz Beat from now until the end of the show. They will be random words. You need to collect all the words, rearrange them into a popular phrase and or quote from comic books or science fiction, movies, television, that sort of thing. Four different words over the next couple hours. We're going to put it together. You need to rearrange it, scramble it, unscramble them, and come up with the right phrase. So every hour will be a brand new word, and they will be the words you heard.
Words you heard, yeah. Words you heard, yeah. Words you heard, yeah. Now it's time to play. Words you heard, yeah. Words you heard.
Words you heard. In each Showbiz Beat, I will give you a brand new word. They will be in random order. You need to unscramble those words and put them together into the winning phrase, and then give us a call at 1-800-520-1067 when you figured it out. It's just
sounds simple enough.
Just
have to listen.
Simple, right? The word for this hour. The words you heard's word for this hour.
Now, are we going to repeat this word next hour or
no?
Only once, okay?
Only once.
All right.
This is it. This is your word for this hour. You got to come back next hour to get the second word. But the word this hour will now be coming out of my mouth. I will now be saying the word that is the word.
Okay, we need to start the drums again.
The word for this hour. Mm-hmm. For words that hurt, you heard.
Words you heard, yeah.
The.
The?
The word for this hour is the.
Words you heard, yeah.
Okay.
The.
Got
so
it.
You're saying the word is
the.
All right.
Jot that down.
Jot that down. Come back next hour or stick around?
Stick around, I'd say.
Yeah.
Rob Corddry's next. We love him.
All right. Because it's Rob Corddry. It's not...
Muggs interviewing Melissa McCarthy, also in the 7 o'clock hour.
It's not I give a pap smear to a tapir or anything, is it?
No, it is not.
It's not one of those things.
It's not a sound.
It's not Bean's dream, no.
Okay. All right.
It's the rest of ours.
It's not a gynecological tapir exam.
It is not.
It's just... It's Rob Corddry. It's an actual...
Correct.
...entertainment segment.
Yes.
Okay. Just
yes.
Want to make sure. Yeah. So, stick around, and then in the next hour, we'll give you...
So, the word is...
The. Words you heard, yeah.
The first words you heard's word is the.
I like it.
All right. Let's talk about Katy Perry.
Can we?
Let's not try to bury her like some people do. Looking
Snap.
At you, Taylor Swift.
Snap.
Let's raise her up because she is sharing her official Olympics anthem.
Okay.
Yeah, right? And here's the press release.
I haven't heard it yet.
It's as fiery as the Olympic flame itself.
Oh, I'm nervous now.
Uh-oh.
I'm nervous.
With a huge anthemic chorus and motivational lyrics like, "Victory's in my veins, and I won't just survive, you will see me thrive."
A lot of times these sports anthems that are written for an Olympics or a World Cup or something like that are terrible song.
Bean, this is as fiery as the Olympic flame itself.
Okay.
Maybe he didn't hear that part.
I guess he didn't.
Yeah.
It is called Rise. The song is called Rise. And it's as fiery as the Olympic flame itself.
I've heard that.
Here's a little taste of Katy Perry's new Olympics anthem, Rise. Sounds like a Bond theme.
I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, kind of does.
I like that.
It's either a Bond theme or you need a Rocky Balboa workout montage behind
right.
it. One or the other.
Or, I'm looking at you, Final Four. How about this song? Instead
come
of
on.
One
come
shining,
on.
Moment.
One shining
no.
moment.
Let's
it's
go with Rise, Katy
no.
Perry.
Kevin.
Come on
Kevin.
Now.
No.
Mess with the tradition.
Now, are we going to be hearing that song 20,000 times on NBC's Olympic coverage this
no.
summer?
Oddly, they're not going to
they're
play
not
it,
air
at,
it
all.
At all. Right.
Oh. It's so strange.
That's weird.
They have opted to not use the official American Olympic anthem this year.
I like that. That sounds good.
It's hot. It's yeah. hot. It's hot. It's tight.
It's tight.
It's a hit, man, and I like it.
It's hot and
I'm going to go get it.
All right.
That's a keeper right there.
Tight and hot and keeper. I like it, too. I hear it, and I say, come on, look at the corner. I can just imagine him working out in some shed in Russia. John Stamos. He's going to appear in the new season of Scream Queens over there on Fox. And good news, ladies. It has been announced that for his role, Stamos will have to get fully nude.
Is that right? I don't think you can say that.
You can't say that.
Well, that's what he was asking about.
But he
right?
didn't
right.
use the word because we can't use the word.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I see what I've done.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that on you?
I realize what I've done now. Now I'm painfully aware of what I've done.
Yeah. That sort of coarse language is far beneath the dignity of this room.
Yeah, right.
I apologize. I'm sure it'll just be butt stuff.
Yeah. Allie's in.
Yeah.
But still, he's a good-looking guy right there.
Sure.
And Robert Downey Jr., how great is Robert Downey Jr.? He's a superhero. He's a charitable, organizational fellow.
Really?
Yes.
That's a strange moniker.
He's got his own foundation. He's always helping out sick kids. He's just the best. And now, he's a good citizen. This week, he is fulfilling his civic duty as an alternate juror. He is serving on an actual trial as an alternate juror.
He's doing something Bean can't.
That's right. And usually celebrities get bounced. It's rare
too much
for
of
them,
a distraction.
Yeah, it's rare for them to put them on the panel. And now he is an alternate, keep in mind. So he'll only serve if someone gets a shot with a blow dart or something. I think that's how it happens. A trank dart takes somebody down. But he's serving on a car accident case that's being tried here in Los Angeles. Sources say he is, no surprise here, super friendly and very attentive during all the trial proceedings, investing some serious time in the courtroom to gather information and evidence about what's happening in the case. Hmm. I think Robert Downey Jr. should just do away with the judicial system, period, and just have him judge every case.
I was just going to say all of the other jurors are just going to turn to him and go, well.
I would go with his decision on almost every situation. I would just let him adjudicate all trials from now on.
I mean, how can you not? I mean, he's Iron Man, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Proceedings began on Monday, and the jury's expected to begin deliberating today, so it looks like his service is almost over. But a guy like him, he doesn't have to be there. He doesn't just sit down there in the courthouse off a hill.
Apparently he does.
But he is. He's. I'm sure he could have gotten out if he wanted to. But he wants to.
He's a good citizen.
Wants to see justice being done. Today's celebrity birthdays. Taylor Kinney from Chicago Fire is 35 years old today. Travis Fimmel from Vikings. He's a strapping young lad.
Sure is.
He's 37. Easy, Allie.
I'm just saying.
Ray Toro from My Chemical Romance is 39 years old. Diane Kruger turns 40, as does Gabriel Iglesias. John Dolmayan from System of a Down is 43. Brian Austin Green also is 43. Scott Foley is 44. Eddie Griffin, the comedian, is 48. Forrest Whitaker turns 55. And actor Terry O'Quinn from Lost, most famously, is 64. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We sent our man Beer Mug out to the red carpet premiere of Ghostbusters in theaters right now. And he, Kevin, you've heard the tape. He interviews everybody, right?
He does, yeah. He interviews most of the cast, Ryder, Ivan Reitman. I mean, he interviews a lot of people.
Can't wait. That is coming up. Ghostbusters this weekend. Another thing to look for this weekend is the return of one of our favorite shows, Ballers, on HBO this Sunday night. I think Vice Principals comes back, too, or debuts this Sunday night as well. And Ballers is right after that at 10 p.m. on HBO. We couldn't be more excited to welcome our old friend Rob Corddry back to the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Rob. How are you, man?
Hello, friend.
Rob.
How are you guys?
We are good. How's Miami today?
It's rainy. I was going to give you guys a call from my balcony, but I'm staring at my balcony rather than doing that.
Yeah.
It's pouring here.
You wanted to stand on your balcony and shout, yes, I am in Ballers. Yes, it does come back Sunday.
I do that all the time. I had no little cards and stuff. I'm a jerk.
Sure. Well, listen, we want to talk about that. We're very excited about Baller's return, but can we first start with congratulating you once again for all the Emmy nominations that Children's Hospital received yesterday? I mean, I don't know what your expectation was, but they just kept calling out your name.
Good for them. It's really cool, man. Like, I can't even. You just reminded me, basically, because it seems so unbelievable that I'm like, I barely understand it.
We love that show so much, and we're excited, but can't find information on season 8.
Yeah,
about that.
Is that
it's just not on the schedule yet? We just haven't. You don't know when it's going to debut.
Is it next spring? Because I'm looking.
Oh, no.
What?
This is awkward, Rob.
What?
Oh, gosh.
Because that's our favorite show, so I can't find any info.
Oh, honey baby.
Hey,
it's been canceled. That's what I was saying. Or you canceled it, I should say.
I can't. I,
you are the killer of shows we love.
Yeah, you're too.
Exactly.
You're too big now. You don't need. You don't need.
What other show do you like?
Don't tell him.
You're the killer of them. Why would I say?
Don't tell him.
Yeah, I'll kill it. I'll
knock,
kill
knock
it,
live.
Rob, you are
good luck killing that one.
You are nominated against your friend Rob Hubel, also from Children's Hospital. Now, is there any way? I mean, are you? How's that going to play out? Is it going to affect your friendship if one of you wins and the other doesn't? Are you secretly rooting for or against each other? How are you handling that in your head?
It's already affecting our friendship.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, it has to.
Really,
right?
Bad. He calls me and or texts me about every 5 minutes.
Oh, geez.
Saying, I'm going to destroy you.
Wow.
I'm taking you down. I don't know. I don't think he slept.
Wow.
They were,
That's kind of a bummer. When you get up and accept the award, though, you're going to say, suck it, Hubel, right?
Something like that.
Tell him to suck it.
I haven't worked it out yet.
Okay.
Something like suck it, Hubel.
Okay.
I think that's good, Kevin. I feel like just off the top of your head, right. I thought that was pretty effective.
Just go with suck it.
Well, I hope.
Suck it, Hubel is the one to beat.
Okay.
I think so. I think that's the leader right now.
Leading contender.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the ballers. Let's assume for a moment that there are bad people listening, Rob, who aren't caught up to speed with what Ballers is all about Sunday nights on HBO. What's your elevator pitch on what the show's about?
Shame on these people.
Right?
It's about The Rock.
I mean, basically, yes.
Yeah, it's kind of about The Rock, right? We're financial managers in Miami, and we represent a lot of football players, and there's a lot of nudity.
Yeah, there is. And there's a lot of Rob saying words he shouldn't be saying, too. There's a lot of that happening.
Ooh. Oh, man, oh, man. That was a turning point for my character.
Yes, it was. And you're friends with The Rock in addition to being co-stars. Is it awkward for you how in awe people are of Dwayne right now and how giggly they probably get every time you guys are around people?
No, I mean, I guess I never get used to it. Like, I don't quite know how he handles just the constant barrage, you know, but he's like, I don't know, he does not seem to mind it. I think he just loves people.
Do you find yourself in the position of being asked to take a photo often?
Yeah, but the photos are terrible because I'm in his shadow. They're very dark.
He is so great on this show, though. I mean, look, obviously he's got the million-dollar smile, but he's so damned funny. Look, we expect you to be funny. I think that was the big surprise, even when we've seen him in movies and everything. Like, this is a totally different side of The Rock, the way he plays this guy.
Well, he's really good, right? Like, I remember everybody likes The Rock, and when I saw Pain and – when I first watched Pain and Gain, I was like, oh, my God, he's good.
Yeah,
and that it's just continued on from into Ballers. Like he's very good at this.
Very good. We're talking to our friend Rob Corddry here on the Kevin Beach about the return of Ballers this Sunday night at 10 on HBO. What real life athletes or stars might we see popping up in season two, Rob?
Oh, I'm not going to give away too much. I will say that Terrell Suggs makes a lot of appearances.
All right.
That's all I'm going to say.
Johnny Manziel?
Oh, Kevin.
No.
Too soon. Too soon.
Now we couldn't get him. He's too big.
What do you hear from NFL players, past and present, and from sports agents who watch this show? You know, we always hear that doctors can't watch medical shows because it's so unrealistic. What do they tell you about the way you portray their businesses?
That's really funny you should ask, because last night at the premiere, a guy came up to me at the party and he was like, "You've ruined my life.
Ruined my life?
I'm a sports financial manager here in Miami." And I guess there are certain expectations of him now.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, to like, you know, because I guess people expect him to act like my character.
Right, and throw bigger parties probably than he throws in real life.
Exactly. He's like a 50-year-old guy. He just looked tired.
What is it like working opposite Andy Garcia?
Oh my God, man! It's better than I even imagined it would be. That he's one of my idols.
Andy Garcia. And
really?
And yeah. He really, it's funny to say, but I was in high school when it came out. Ever since Godfather 2, 3.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm a Godfather 3 apologist, by the way. I think it's a great movie.
I like 3, too, but I believe you and I are the only ones that do.
Well, I think the only problem, the biggest problem people had with Godfather 3 is that the first two movies were perfect. So it's almost impossible to be part of that trilogy and not be anything.
Right.
You know, if you're anything less than perfect, you're going to get torn down. Plus, and she'll be the first to admit it, Sofia Coppola was not a very good actress at that time in her life either. And those two things, that just shaped the narrative for what everybody just says, the thumbnail notes on Godfather 3. But it's a much better movie than people think it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it just doesn't get the credit it deserves, but he shined through as a perfect casting, right, for the Godfather movies, and he just belonged there. And that's, ever since then, I've just been enamored with the guy, and it was crazy to be like in scenes with him.
And he wears so many linen suits.
He glides into a room.
Wears them well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Blows in on the breeze.
Right.
The breeze carries him into room.
Yes.
Well, Rob, it sounds like you're living a life beyond your wildest dreams right now. You seem to be enjoying Baller so much and all the success that you've had in all the other movies and with Children's Hospital and everything. Like, you can't even believe this is your life, can you?
That's true, but when we get off the phone with you guys, I'm going right back to bed.
Okay.
I read an article about you talking about being in Miami and just the nightlife and all of that, and how you let everybody else do it and you just sit home doing puzzles in your underwear.
That's exactly right.
Wow, that's sexy.
Nice.
Yeah, that's not fiction. That's exactly what I do.
Rob Corddry doesn't know how to not be sexy, you guys. Come on.
True.
What are you talking about? All right, Emmy Award-winning Rob Corddry, comedian, actor, Ballers, returns Sunday night at 10 on HBO. Don't miss it. It's a great show. We're very excited to have it back and very excited to have you back on the Kevin Bean Show. Rob, have a super weekend, dude.
I can't wait to come in there. Thank you guys for having me. I love you all very, very much.
Always. Thank you, Rob.
It's always exciting and also terrifying when Beer Mug represents the Kevin and Bean Show out in public, especially when he's got a microphone in his hand and he's talking to people with whom we'd like to continue to have a relationship. Is Mugs the face of the franchise? I guess that's what I'm asking here, Kevin.
Well, most of the time he doesn't talk to the people that matter.
Uh-huh.
So we're not bothered by that so much. In this particular case, in this particular case with Ghostbusters, the red carpet, they call it the green carpet, Muggs interviewed everybody.
Wow.
And I feel like maybe we're working Muggs a little too hard.
Really?
He's tired.
Uh-oh.
He may be a little drunk. I'm not positive. He's about to die while he introduces the green carpet at Ghostbusters.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're at the Ghostbusters world premiere. I can't wait. I've been a longtime fan of all Ghostbusters movies. What's up, party people? Here live at the world premiere of the Ghostbusters. And I can't tell you how excited I am because I've been a fan of Ghostbusters since I was born. I can't wait to see the new you.
Oh, dear.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Ladies and gentlemen, live at the world premiere of Ghostbusters here at the Chinese Theater. I can't tell you how excited I am. I've been a fan of Ghostbusters since I've been born. I am excited to see the new one. So who are you going to call?
Okay.
Well, it was sure worth
all right.
It.
Right.
Third time's a charm.
It was worth the trip to get to the who you going to call line.
Now, Muggs, I think Kevin's right. I think we are hearing a different Beer Mug. What's going on in your life at the time that you're trying to conduct these interviews?
Well, this was the tail end of a whirlwind tour of appearances, which, look, I am grateful for. And keep them coming, K-Rock. And I love you for that. And I'm very grateful for you guys to send me out. But I was running on fumes at this point. And my tolerance for things was lessening.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yes.
So you're working too hard, and you got a new baby at home, so maybe you're not getting the best sleep ever, and then here you are out on the red carpet, a very, very busy night. Okay.
But he turns it around. He turns that bad attitude around
pretty
quickly.
Can someone tell JoJo to shut the f*** up?
Oh. Who's JoJo?
Who's JoJo?
JoJo on the radio.
Okay.
Who's JoJo?
He's on
our competitive.
It doesn't matter. Say the station. Is it Kiss?
Yeah, it is Kiss. Okay,
what was
why are you wasting time?
Okay. I didn't know you could say it.
Why was he wasting? What was he doing?
He was hosting the red carpet, like what I did at Mike and Dave. He was hosting to everybody to Hollywood Boulevard, and he was on the mic just. He would. Paul Scheer would arrive, and he would be like, "Paul Scheer is here. Paul Scheer is here. Paul Scheer right. is here."
And I'm not positive that you need to be the one to call people out on being bad hosts.
Well, look, it was just annoying. It was obnoxious.
Okay. Now Muggs is tired, a little bit annoyed, mm-hmm. and starts making up a song because he probably had to get there a little bit before everything started happening.
Like hours?
Yeah.
Okay.
What the f*** is taking so long? What the f*** is taking too long? I gotta go home and eat and sleep and shower and poo and pee. What the f*** is taking so long? 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 I gotta go home and eat and sleep and poo and pee and shower. Boom, there it was.
Yeah, you added shower for the remix.
I'm not positive that you can boom yourself, first of all.
Yeah.
This and if you could, like, I don't know that you should have boomed that.
This sounds like the rantings of a guy in prison in the hole.
Right.
He's out there for 23 hours by himself just trying to stop from going crazy.
Yeah.
Apparently, it was also a little hot.
It was a little bit.
And so Muggs asked Carlos, his videographer, a question.
Carlos, are your balls sweating yet?
Oh, dear.
I could really go for some Hooters wings right now. 12 of them. To be precise.
I mean, he's losing steam. I'm afraid at this point he's about to die.
It was a rough one out there.
And then Andy Garcia walks up.
Okay, aww. Now we're talking.
And Muggs turns back to full Muggs when he tells a great, great story to Andy Garcia.
I saw you in the Miami International Airport one time at baggage claim, and I recognized you. And I was going to come up and say hi, but I didn't want to bug you because I was too nervous. Should I have come up to you? And
yes, absolutely. But not with a mic.
Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it.
That's it. That's what he said to Andy
Garcia.
Great
interview. That, isn't it?
Great
That's
interview.
A phenomenal
that was,
story.
Yes. That was the interview.
No, Muggs.
One time I saw you before at an airport, and I was thinking about coming up and saying hi, but I didn't. Should I have?
Hard hitting. Hard hitting.
By the way, because I couldn't tell from this interview, is Andy Garcia in Ghostbusters?
Yes, he plays the mayor.
Oh, that would have been interesting to hear about.
Yeah,
okay,
it would have
gotcha.
Been neat, huh? He talks to Katie Dippold. Is that how you say
Dippold,
her name? Yeah, one of the writers of this movie, and doesn't necessarily end this interview well.
I honestly, like, this movie is just like a love letter to the original. Like, it's just, that's it first and foremost. So I hope you like it.
Well, Katie, I'm very excited to see it. So is the K-Rock audience, and thank you for stopping and talking to me. A very professional, unprofessional interview like myself.
All right, thank you so much.
Thanks, Katie.
She walked away and went, what did he just say? I don't even, I couldn't even follow it. All right, we have to take a break. I apologize.
Oh, come on. It's just getting good.
What if I were to tell you that Ivan Reitman.
Oh, my.
Okay.
Muggs interviews Kristen Wiig.
Okay.
Muggs interviews Melissa McCarthy.
I get the A-listers, man.
Yeah, you did.
When we come back.
The long-awaited reboot of the film Ghostbusters finally in theaters everywhere. Kevin, you got your tickets for today, I understand?
Yes, sir.
Allie, you and Chip as well are going today?
We are not going today, but I'm going tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. Good enough.
Yeah.
We've been looking forward to it for a long time, and we sent Beer Mug down to the green carpet with all the stars, and we are halfway through listening to his interviews from that night. What's next?
Ivan Reitman. Walks up to Beer Mug. Mm-hmm. Beer Mug starts talking and gets the date of the original movie wrong. The date of the original movie was 1984, I want to say.
Was it? Yeah, I said 81.
Yeah,
I'm bad.
Yes, you are. And there's a lot of talking by Beer Mug and very little by Ivan Reitman.
And Ivan, I got to say, Ghostbusters was a huge part of my childhood. I was born in 83, so right after the first one came out. But I had all the action figures. I had all the toys. I recited all the lines, even as like a five-year-old. Some lines that I shouldn't have been reciting.
Are we going to hear him?
Yeah, yeah.
Was okay. he there?
Did you ever think, like, you talked to Kevin and Bean about this, but did you ever think it was like kids were going to fall in love with Ghostbusters? I mean, it was a funny movie with funny people, funny actors, but do you ever think kids were gonna love it so much?
Is it possible to let Ivan speak is my question.
He was about to speak.
Okay.
He was about to speak.
Good, and he said,
well, when we were making it, we never thought it was going to be a family movie.
You know what? I think for true Ghostbusters fans, I think they're all going to love it, and I can't wait to see it.
There he was.
Thank you. That's it.
There he was.
Don't talk live and ruin his ending.
Sorry,
he only got to say six words in the interview. Don't cut him off live.
My bad.
All right. Kristen Wiig.
The best.
All right. Now we're talking. I, by the way, would be nervous talking to Kristen Wiig.
Same.
I love
sure.
her so much.
For love sure. her so much. Now, the first thing Beer Mug does is ask how much time he has and then immediately wastes all of it.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Kristen Wiig, Beer Mug from K-Rock. Hello. Huge fan. You're a very funny lady. How many questions am I allowed to ask you? Are they rushing you along the carpet?
I think it's more of a time thing.
Okay, okay. Yeah. All right, because you got to get in there. All right, I'll ask you one long one, but starting by myself. I was a big fan of Ghostbusters growing up, and I'm super excited to see the movie.
How many times do we need to hear that story?
It's good to know.
Is it, though? Does it help the question that follows?
The quest, by the way, he starts out by saying, we're a little rushed for time.
Right. Uh-huh.
So I'm just going to ramble for a while about my childhood.
How many of the pop figures of your character have you bought so far? Have you seen them? They're in Hot Topic locations everywhere.
Seen them in person. I've only seen a picture, and I don't have any yet.
You got to get one because they're awesome. How do you think Ghostbusters fans are going to take to the movie?
It's made in the spirit of the first one. It's made with people that were in the first two. It's an extension of it, and it's just made with joy.
Kristen, I am a huge fan of you.
You know what? I hear you talking, but let me interrupt. Because I'd like to say something instead of you saying something.
Made with joy.
Kristen, I am a huge fan of you and the new Ghostbusters, and I can't wait to see it.
Very much.
Thank you. Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
I had a hurry, you guys.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
You sure were
limited
in a hurry.
Limited time.
You sure did hurry.
I do feel like most of the time in these interviews, I learn more about Muggs than I do about the person he's interviewing.
Because he doesn't let them speak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Melissa McCarthy.
Okay.
Walks in front of Muggs, and he actually lets her speak for a little bit. So,
awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Job well done.
Thank
Here
you.
We go.
Melissa, Beer Mug from K-Rock. I'm a huge fan of yours. Have you seen your pop figure of your Ghostbusters character?
I've seen my kids were playing with all four of our action figures all morning, which was super surreal, kind of amazing, and then a little off-putting because they kept leaving mine face down on the table, like kind of with my legs looking like I fell from a third floor.
Oh, rude!
Playing with the rest of them. I'm like, hey, what about that Abby girl? She's pretty cool. And they're like, yeah.
Is Abby Bergman going to steal the show in the movie?
You want to hear that question again?
Yes, I do.
Is Abby going to steal the show in the movie?
Is Abby Bergman going to steal the show in the movie?
No. This is a group situation, like 100%.
I can't wait to see it because I'm an original Ghostbusters fan.
Oh, really?
And right
oh.
with the new one.
Like, psycho fan of the first two.
Can't wait to see it.
Thank you.
She interrupted him for once, finally.
Nice. He deserved it.
She did the right thing.
So you liked the first movie or did not like the first movie?
I loved both of the movies, yeah.
Adam Ray.
Okay.
One of our friends, yeah. comedians, friend of the show, stopped by to interview with Muggs.
Just met Ray Parker Jr., man.
How rich is that guy?
He tipped me when I said hello to him. And I was like, wait, what? Yeah, that guy's got money just spilling out of his taint.
Just keep doing it. Just keep doing what you're doing.
You got the best beard in Hollywood, by the way.
No, you do.
Okay, now, you have the best beard in Hollywood. No, you do. That conversation's over, right?
Right.
I would hope so, yeah.
Wrong?
Yeah.
You well,
do.
No.
Look at
that. It's been you, me, and Crispin Glover.
Okay, I'll give Crispin.
That's a good company to be in.
But you see how yours is like, you have like...
Speckled, it, yeah. It's
no,
like,
no, yours is like...
Remember the good times about 1 minute ago when he was talking to Melissa McCarthy?
There's a hair follicle on every part of your skin. Mine comes in kind of patchy. And you can grow a mean beard better than I can.
Well, with that attitude, yeah, like I'm going to. Like, you need to be more confident about your beard growing skills. Right. You have all the patches filled in.
Almost.
Kevin and Bean, I love you. You're the best. Thanks for believing in me.
Here's the good part, though, is he's standing in front of Beer Mug. Now he's no longer talking to Beer
nope.
Mug. He's actually
right.
sending us yeah. a message.
That got really emotional.
You did it yourself. They didn't help
I just
you.
Cried. Kevin and Bean, I love you. Thanks for being the only one who knew I could do it.
Not positive we were the only ones. But.
It's almost like he's just begging to be rescued at that point.
Yeah. Somebody please take me away from this crazy man. All right, so the interviews are over
uh-huh.
at the premiere of Ghostbusters, and Muggs wraps it up nicely, I think.
When there's something strange in the neighborhood, the red carpet's over, I'm dropping the mic.
Oh, thank God.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:52.
Going to talk Pokemon Go coming up just after the top of the hour. We had a bunch of questions yesterday about how they decide where to put the characters that you catch. Like, why is there one in the Holocaust Museum? And I think we've got an expert who's going to explain how the game is built. What are you doing? What's going on, Ralph? You all right?
I'm just watching the...
You don't want to know.
Okay.
Just move right on.
Let it go. Just want Allie groom herself.
I just took my hair out of an elastic. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, and then you took the hair out of the elastic. And
there was one random hair.
Let's just sprinkle it all over the room. Why don't you?
What is wrong with you?
Ralph, before you walked in...
knit a sweater.
Before you walked in, Christine was picking ticks out of her back, too.
I know.
It was very weird.
What?
Time for our showbiz beat here on a Friday morning. Here's Ralph.
It's like being in a troop of bonobos.
Right? If I knew what that was, I would probably laugh.
I don't get it.
Look it up. It's freaking hilarious. That is a Google joke right there. That's what I call a Google joke.
Well, those are the best jokes.
I think so. Ones you have to earn. Shane, I can just make you laugh on the surface.
Sure.
I make you dig a little deeper. Speaking of digging deep, we're giving away our final pair of San Diego Comic-Con tickets.
Yeah!
Today, and we're doing it in a very interesting way, as opposed to just asking you some trivia questions and making you earn it that way. We are making things a little bit tougher because it's the last pair, and as you know, this is an impossible to get ticket. So we're making you earn it with a game we call The Words You Heards.
Words you heard, yeah, words you heard, yeah, words you heard, yeah, now it's time to play. Words you heard, yeah, words you heard.
Here's an aside, by the way. This is what happens when you find out that the phrase that pays is copyrighted.
Correct. That's right. Yeah.
Who knew?
We learned.
Who knew that?
We did, eventually.
We did. We found that out.
So we had to mix things
so
up
So this
a little
is
bit.
Words you heard.
Words you heard.
Words you heard, yeah.
I am giving you one word in each showbiz beat in a random order. You need to collect all the words, collect them all, and then unscramble them to come up with a popular phrase from either comic books or science fiction or fantasy TV or movies. Something that Comic-Con related. Something Comic-Con related. You're going to need to unscramble it. And don't bother calling now. You just collect the words. Collect the words you heard.
Words you heard, yeah.
And then in the final showbiz beat of the day, we'll open up the phones and see if anybody's able to de-scramble the words you heard that I've given out so far. I gave one out last hour. If you didn't listen...
Bad on you.
You lose, because we're not repeating them. But the words you heard for this hour is space.
Oh, I'm sorry. The drum roll was right on top of me. I apologize.
Sorry, let's try that.
Sorry, I thought
there was going to be a pause.
I can't say it again.
You got to say it again.
You can hear it now.
You can only say it once. Right, but you can say it again right now, just not next hour.
Oh, okay.
This hour's word is...
space.
Oh. No, say it out loud. Say it louder so people can hear it.
I did it twice. I'm not going to do it again.
Okay, lower the drum roll.
Give anything away.
How about no drum roll? You want no drum roll?
No, I need a drum roll.
There you go.
The word... for this hour is...
I couldn't
You're
understand.
You're not even eligible, so you don't even need to hear.
Well, I'm afraid if I can't understand it, maybe other people can.
Oh, okay.
We have a rigged system,
we
folks.
We do.
Okay, let's try it one more time.
Okay. The words you heard for this hour is... space.
Yay!
All right, so take that, put that in your back pocket, and run with it.
So we got last hour's word.
How do you do that?
And don't
we
fall,
got
this though, word.
Because you got your word in your back pocket. If you fall on your butt, you break
your
word.
It. Right, yeah. Gotcha.
Don't break your word.
It's an important tip.
I think so.
How about that whole deal?
Huh?
Katy Perry. She's just the best. You know, she's the anti-Taylor Swift.
Well,
she really is.
They're both very good.
She is. You know when they have those alternate dimensions? Like the Flash and stuff, you know, when you got the good people in one dimension and the other dimension it's like an evil doppelganger.
Right.
Katy Perry's like the good version of Taylor Swift in an alternate dimension.
I think it's possible.
Except
to like
for
them.
She's 100% hotter.
Right. She's way hot.
Yes.
Completely genuine, adorable, charming, fun to hang out with.
Yes.
Enormously talented.
Yes.
Doesn't take herself too seriously. Doesn't feel the need to punish others. She's everything good. Versus everything bad that is Taylor Swift.
So Taylor's awesome, but Katy is in the news. Why?
I think you misunderstood what I was saying.
You're missing the point here.
Yeah. I don't remember Katy Perry throwing a Kate America party. I don't remember that happening anytime over the 4th of July weekend.
That's a horrible idea.
Yes, it is. She has got the official Olympics anthem that she wrote and has recorded that was released this morning. It is, as you can imagine, a motivational song.
for our Olympic athletes out there, working their butts off trying to bring home the gold. And so she has released it this morning. It's available on iTunes and Apple Music. It's called Rise. We heard a little bit in the last hour, but I love it so much. I want to play some more. Here's Katy Perry.
I'm gonna beat him, Mick!
Should be a Rocky song. Or a Bond theme.
That seems like it's perfect for the Olympics.
It's so inspirational. I wanna go throw the hammer right now. That's how inspired I am. And by throw the hammer, I mean.
Yeah, we got it. We got it, Ralph. Right. Okay, the visual is not that needed. Visual is oh, my God.
The opposite of throwing the hammer.
It's getting worse. Yeah.
Throwing the hammer. That's what I call
it. Oh, my
God. You gotta go home and throw the hammer.
Survey says!
Oh, come on.
Agreed.
Meanwhile, you got Katy Perry, which are all things good, and then you got Britney Spears.
Oh, Britney
Spears. Oh, she has a new song,
she's
too?
She's got a new song, too. Just released a new
for
song
the Olympics?
Today. Not for the Olympics.
Oh, okay.
It's for her, and it's called Make Me. Yeah. I'll make her. I don't know what that means. It's the first single off her forthcoming 9th studio album. It does seem like Britney Spears has become just sort of an asterisk in pop music.
Yeah.
She was all things.
Yeah.
At one moment.
Yeah. As far as being relevant.
Now she's stumbling out on stage in Vegas.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with stumbling. Take it easy.
Falling over and lip syncing and putting out songs and people barely notice. But I thought you might be interested to hear some new Britney Spears music. Here's a little of Make Me.
Just want you to make me move. Like it ain't a choice for you. Like you got a job to do. Just want you to raise my roof. Something sensational.
All right, it's enough. That's enough of that. That's enough of that.
That's all you can take?
That's enough of that. Ugh. Boy, it's just like it's like a computer punches those things out, isn't it?
Yep. Just to sound like the other songs that she did that were hits.
Boy, oh boy.
I didn't love it at first listen.
All right.
I liked it.
That's
thank you, Dave.
Did anyone, I'm sorry, did I miss it? Did anyone ask Dave what he thought of the song?
No.
I miss that part of the conversation? No,
yeah, I think that was unsolicited.
Oh,
yeah.
I heard it on the radio.
Well, you should change stations.
Yes. That's what we recommend to everyone listening right now. And this playmate, Danny Mathers, Playmate of the Year for 2015, she's an evil bitch. If you missed the story, she was working out at an LA Fitness, and she was in the steam room, I guess, and looking through the glass door. And an unsuspecting woman who was just showering in the ladies' shower area, nude, and Danny Mathers thought it'd be hilarious to take a picture of her without the woman's knowledge, then post it on Snapchat, along with the caption, "If I can't unsee this, you can't either."
Unreal.
And another picture of her, like, covering her face and laughing hysterically at this poor woman who's just trying to work out and not minding her own business. It's an evil, evil thing.
That sounds like it goes beyond just being petty and body shaming, but into the area of she ought to be arrested.
Absolutely.
Right?
Well,
yeah.
LA police are investigating. LA Fitness, the gym chain, has banned her from not just the one where she attends, but any LA Fitness in the chain. She is no longer able to use their facilities, which is the right thing to do. It's mean girls behavior to the nth degree.
Yeah.
It's just hideous behavior. Her trying to embarrass this poor woman without her knowledge.
And the woman's there working out.
Minding her own business, just trying to take a shower. And this bitch takes a picture and puts it up on Snapchat. And then she has the balls to release a video apologizing. It is the most empty apology you've ever heard in your life. Here's the audio.
I just wanted to acknowledge a photo that I accidentally posted here on Snapchat earlier today and let you guys know that that was absolutely wrong and not what I meant to do. I have chosen to do what I do for a living because I love the female body, and I know that body shaming is wrong, and that's not what I'm about. That's not the type of person that I am.
Nope.
Oh,
that photo was taken to be part of a personal conversation with a girlfriend, and because I am new to Snapchat, I really didn't realize that I had posted it, and that was a huge mistake. I know that I've upset a lot of people out there, but please, please believe me when I say this is not the type of person I am. I've never done this before. I will never do this again. You have my word.
Is she driving away while doing that?
Isn't it 100% who she is if she
Absolutely.
Did it?
Absolutely.
No, Bean.
Absolutely.
It's not who she is
I'm
at
not
all.
You. It's not what she intended, Bean, taking a picture and posting it.
I only body shame people to my close personal friends. Is like the best case scenario right. for that apology.
I meant it to go to one person, but I posted it on my story.
I'm an evil bitch amongst my other mean girl friends, right. but I'm not usually public about it. That's hideous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not about how you posted it on Snapchat. It's about that you did it, period.
And not only that, someone's mom, someone's daughter is now naked on the internet.
Yes.
Without their permission. That is despicable. And I hope this woman comes forward, sues her ass, which I'm not sure she has anything, but take her for everything she's worth. She's
no, she's
awful.
Got an ass. I've seen that.
Oh, I'm
That's
sure
not she... what we're talking about.
I'm sorry. I missed it. I'm
missing the point.
Just disgusting.
Yeah. It is disgusting. It's. And I hope she goes to jail. I really do.
I hope she burns.
I'm not positive.
Is that all right?
I hope she falls off a cliff right? like Pokemon.
Me too. And then gets the smartphone jammed somewhere with surgical.
Yeah, in her hoo-ha, right,
oh,
Ralph?
Why do you have hoo-ha? To ruin it? We're all having oh. fun, and then you just take it one step too
oh,
far.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Today's celebrity birthday is Taylor Kinney. From Chicago Fire is 35 years old today. Travis Fimmel, he's the head Viking over there on Vikings.
Yeah.
37 years old. Ray Toro, guitarist for My Chemical Romance, is 39. Dan Kruger and Gabriel Iglesias both turned 40 today. Brian Austin Green and John Dolmayan from System are 43. Scott Foley's 44. Eddie Griffin is 48 years old today. Forrest Whitaker's 55. And Terry O'Quinn turned 64. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Very excited. Later this hour, actor Patrick Fugit is going to be in studio with us. He, of course, from Outkast.
Nope.
Again, no.
I was told.
No, that's the band.
I was told Bean, he was from Outkast.
That's the band Outkast. This is a TV show Outkast. It's on Cinemax.
The TV oh, show you right. love.
Yeah,
then.
I do love that show.
So it's
created
weird.
By our
you
friend Robert Kirkman. I know.
Right.
I got it wrong. I was missing. Okay. I was missing for it. But anyway, Patrick Fugit will be joining us. First, though, give me a little of that Pokemon theme, would you please? Pokemon.
What? He's saying turn it down.
Turn it down. We're
I
done.
Thought you
We're
told done. Me to play it.
Yeah. It is weird that 9 days ago we didn't know
Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just
We talking. Didn't know anyone who was playing Pokemon Go, and now we don't know anyone who's not, because it is the biggest mobile game in history already, and we have some questions about how this thing works. So we asked Dave to reach out for an expert, and we went to our friends over at IGN, and we got writer, host, podcaster Alana Pierce to join us on the phone right now. Hi, Alana. I apologize for all the nonsense you had to sit through to get on the air.
Oh, no. I wish you guys had finished the song.
See? See, Bean?
I think it has, like... It has like 700 verses, that song. So actually, I think we cut it off when we had to. So, all right. So by now, I think almost everybody knows what Pokemon Go is. It's a game that you play on your phone where you go out into the real world. It's a virtual reality and you capture characters. But we keep seeing all of these stories about these characters showing up in places that we wouldn't expect to see them. And we're hoping you can give us a little bit of background, Alana, on how these Pokestops are selected.
Yeah, it's very, very broad. So Niantic, who are the company who made Pokemon Go, also made a game called Ingress, which is a game that's solely based on what are effectively Pokestops. They're portals, but they've used the exact same locations to turn them into Pokestops and gyms and hot locations for finding Pokemon. So the system uses a custom version of Google Maps and then lets players take photos of certain locations to submit them to say, hey, I think this should be a Pokestop for whatever reason. And they've been doing this.
Phone is cutting. Oh, your phone. Yeah, we're losing you on the phone there.
Oh, no, that's not good.
No.
Can you hear me?
I'm going to disconnect and have you call back, or we'll call you. However it worked
yeah,
the first
sure,
time.
Sure.
Okay, okay.
Okay, let's do that.
Because we're curious, like Rosa Parks' grave, they had to come out and say, hey, everyone.
Yeah.
Let's not look for Pokemon at Rosa Parks' grave.
You guys, what if Pokemon got to her phone? Like, what if it is a big CIA conspiracy? What if she was about to tell us something that she shouldn't?
And so it was cutting it out.
Yes.
Pokemon, I got to look into me. I know it's my destiny. Pokemon, oh, you're my best friend. You're
just saying, remember in Kingsman when they put the chip in the phone that it was going to spread that disease and all those people were going to die?
Yes, it was basically everybody outside of their little place.
Right.
Yeah.
So you I'm just saying. You think maybe Pokemon is that disease?
Alana's phone got taken down by Pokemon?
So I'm just saying.
By the CIA?
Let's try Alana again. She's back in line.
Hey, Alana.
Hey, sorry about that.
Okay, no worries. Much better. Okay, that's much better. So I guess the question is, so they come up with thousands of locations around the world where Pokemon are. Now, are these fixed locations, or are they locations that just pop up in new places as I'm walking around playing the game?
They have to be fixed. So the locations have to be a place with a cool story, somewhere that has history, somewhere that has educational value, a piece of art.
Okay, so if that's the case, then why did the people who manufacture the game put them in places that are becoming so objectionable for so many people, like inside churches, inside the Holocaust Museum at Rosa Parks' grave? Why would they choose those if they know that's going to cause problems?
That's actually one of their stipulations, is that they like to have them in places of worship. And I think the idea is because Ingress was a game that was much smaller, that was about people traveling to certain locations when they were on holidays or something. So it was like, you're probably going to want to go here anyway, so let's put this here. Pokemon Go is obviously a huge phenomenon, probably the biggest pop culture event of 2016 so far. So it's just drawing so many people to these locations that it's feeling kind of borderline disrespectful.
But
so it's just that it didn't translate too well into Pokemon Go, I think.
So somebody had to make the decision, yes, the Holocaust Museum, that's where we, that's where we want to put something.
I mean, yeah, it means that somebody submitted that as a place that they would like to have events happen, basically, yeah.
that's twisted.
That's really twisted.
It is kind of. Okay, so what about this? I heard, and I wish I could remember what it was, Alana, but I heard a business on the news earlier this week that was incredibly frustrated with the traffic that had been caused around its business because of people trying to catch a character nearby. They were hoping they could petition the company to remove them as a location. Do you have any idea whether the company allows that?
You can submit for that, so potentially, but the biggest problem is, you know, there's some people who've ended up in abandoned locations as well, and it's because they can't monitor how many stops there actually are very effectively, I think. I think there's probably not enough people looking at the locations to take action on that kind of thing pretty quickly.
Okay.
So also, what kind of company doesn't want business? That seems very strange.
Well, but they're not going in there for business.
Right, exactly. They're literally just filling up the parking lot so they can get out and walk around on the outskirts of the business, like in the alley behind the business, to try to catch a Pokemon. It's not. There's no benefit for them.
2016 is so weird.
It is. Yeah,
it really is.
It is.
It's hard to believe that it has only been a little over a week since this game has become available in the United States. Is it going to change? Is it going to evolve? Or is the game we see now what we've got?
We actually have no idea yet. They've been very closed on announcing any of that kind of thing. But, I mean, for me, the point where I will stop playing Pokemon Go is when I've caught all the Pokemon, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have the full Pokedex, and then what's the point?
How many do you have?
I think we've got around 70 right now. So I'm doing okay.
Now, they put out like 150, but aren't there 750 or some huge number that still could be?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So I think that we probably will end up seeing them add more Pokemon. But then for the people who only really were familiar with the first generation of Pokemon, the original 150, which is what I know the best.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Seeing a Pokemon that you don't really recognize might not be as exciting.
I feel like they've got to
keep playing.
They've got to up the game. You've got to be able to play against friends, you know, add friends to it, that type of thing, to make it even more social and a bit more competitive. Otherwise, it's just, oh, yeah, I got all of them.
Yeah, I think the issue with that is that they probably want to avoid conflict in person, but I would really like to have trading. If you could trade Pokemon, I think that would be a really cool feature.
I don't want to have
people fighting on the street.
Yeah, no
or
kidding.
Or falling off cliffs.
Listen, those two guys that fell off the cliff, I was happy with, because they had to cut through a fence that said cliff, dangerous conditions.
No.
They cut through the fence and then they fell off a cliff, so good on them. I'm happy with that. Let's thin the herd.
We are talking to a lot of peers here on the Kevin DeBean Show from IGN. I also wanted to ask you about this. What about the data use? Is this game so big that it is going to create, and I'm not joking about this, is it going to create a problem with people using GPS or people getting cell signals the same way that Netflix slows down the internet every night in America?
I mean, that's possible. I'm sure you guys saw that T-Mobile announced that anyone who plays Pokemon Go can have free data with them.
Did see that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's smart, right?
it's crazy, but I think the reaction is going to be the companies just offer more data specifically for Pokemon Go, which, again, 2016 is so weird. So
what is it doing to battery life?
Oh, it's very bad on battery life, I'm sure, if you guys have been playing and you've had problems with that. But for a lot of apps like this, we see updates. So we'll see a relatively big update that will hopefully fix the battery life issue. And it's definitely better if anyone's playing, if you put it on AR mode when you're catching Pokemon.
I mean,
you can't see the real world behind you, but if you do that and you switch it over to AR, it makes it run a lot better.
Okay, that's a tip. All right, last question for me, Alana, and that is, you've been working at IGN for a while now. How does this compare in terms of your early impressions with how fast the popularity happened for Candy Crush and for Angry Birds? Are we seeing something bigger and better than ever before, or is this pretty consistent with other popular mobile games?
This is bigger than basically any game at all.
Ever?
For us, with what we have on IGN, this has been one of the biggest launches in history, and the game's only been out for 5 days, and we're still seeing more traffic related to Pokemon Go and our Pokemon Go wiki pages, which have a lot of information on how everything works, than basically any game before them. So
it
is one of the biggest things ever, full stop, which is amazing.
Why don't I ever buy stock in the right companies? Yeah. Seriously.
You really missed out on this one.
I really missed out on this one.
I think you're bad at that, Bean.
All right. Alana Pierce, writer, host, and podcaster for IGN. I won't attempt to give your Twitter address, Alana, so if people just search for you by name, they'll find it. But thank you so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you, guys.
You bet. Thanks for calling.
The Kevin and Bean Show, the world-famous K-Rock.
And it is 8:24.
Why are you laughing, Allie?
Don't ask. Just move on.
That was a commercial for corn.
It was.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Because it's corn 1998. That's why.
Awesome.
Hey, this is going to be fun, you guys. We always talk about on this show, we're all such huge TV fans, but how do you make time to see even the great shows? It really is the golden age of television. But here's what I'm here to tell you. If you're not making time for Outcast Friday nights at 10 on Cinemax, you are doing it wrong, because it is phenomenal. And we've been looking forward to meeting this young man since the show premiered a few weeks ago. Patrick Fugit, one of the stars of Outcast, joins us in the studio.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
We're doing great. I'm not lying about that when I tell you that the minute we saw this show was coming to Cinemax, we said, get us Robert Kirkman. And then we said, get us Patrick Fugit.
And then Robert said, no. And you're like, okay.
And here you are.
Here I am.
No, we've been lucky enough to be friends with Mr. Kirkman for a long time. We've had him on many times over the years. But he told us we would love you, so we're excited to finally meet you. So let's go back to the beginning of this show, and that is, the standard question. You're an actor. You get pitched a lot of things. Tell me how you first found out about Outkast.
Lorrae Mayfield is our casting director for the initial startup of the series, and she's awesome to me. She's super supportive, and I came about it pretty traditionally. I went in. I begged and pleaded for the job.
And then they said, come back again. You were great, but come back again?
Yeah.
About five times?
I had to appease Robert. I went personally to his home. No, it was awesome. Robert was there. Our showrunner, Chris Black, was there. Adam Wingard, our director for the first episode, was there. And we just worked through some scenes. And
what is it you liked about Kyle Barnes when you read it on the page?
Well, they didn't release a script right away. It was two fake scenes. And one scene was like a dark, emotional scene. And then the other scene was like a happy flashback scene with his wife, with Kyle's wife. And they were two really, contrasting scenes. But the darkness and the light were elements through both scenes, which I thought was a nice sort of...
As an actor, I mean, you love that.
Yes. Yeah, totally. It creates like a nice complexity that you're able to sort of play with.
Well, explain to people that are listening that don't quite know what the show's about. You're basically a kid, a man now, that was possessed by demons as a kid, but not really, but you got one out of your mom, but we're not sure yet. And now you're getting demons out of all random people, but what's this black tar coming out of them? What's the breathing? What's happening on the show?
What a question, Ellie.
That was a pretty broad question, but I'm down with it.
Okay.
Try to take all of that if you can.
Yeah. Well, Kyle Barnes, the guy I play, has been plagued by demonic possession.
Yes.
So he feels as though he's involved in it somehow.
Mm-hmm. Was he ever possessed? Because I feel like he was blamed for it, but wasn't. Am I right or wrong in that?
We still have to kind of figure that
out.
Yeah. I think that those are some of the questions that Kyle starts to ask himself in the next few episodes here, which is cool, I think.
But he becomes this kind of hermit and sequesters himself away from everyone he loves because he's afraid of who he thinks he might be.
Yeah, I mean, he's had his mother was possessed when he was a child, and it created a very traumatic experience.
<You think? laughs>
That was not a fun childhood for for poor Kyle.
That was not awesome.
There was a lot of room in that closet. It looked comfortable to me.
Yeah. And then
it was the crash landing, I think, in the closet that was bad, Bean.
Yeah. And then, or the no milk for cereal part.
Sure.
That's terrible.
Yeah, that's
I've
the worst.
Been there. And then it happened again with his wife, you know, in his adult life, tore his family apart. And I think he gets the feeling, especially through the first few episodes, we're on tonight will be episode 6. Mm-hmm. So he knows he's got something to do with why these things are coming around.
Even from the very first episode, he's worried and he tells the sheriff, is the sheriff or no, the pastor, the guy that's reverend. Casting out the reverend, right? You tell him that you feel like demons are at the very least following you around and you have no idea why.
At the very least, they know where I live.
Right. So when you're playing Kyle, you have a permanent pall over the character. He can never just relax and enjoy himself because he's got these bad things going on. Is that wearying to play a character like that who always has this sadness about him?
You know, it would be if Kyle were like manically sad, but Kyle has kind of like a sort of mellow keel, you know.
I feel like he's a stoner. Kyle strikes me as a stoner. They haven't really shown a lot of that, but I think you're smoking a lot of weed in the other room. Yeah.
The thing about Kyle, I feel, because I was huge To Kill a Mockingbird fan, he's Boo Radley. He's just this hermity guy, but he has so much good to give. And obviously, you're trying to help all these people in the town. And why is everyone in the town possessed by a demon? What is happening in that town?
Yeah.
And can you not move?
That's another, like, 10 questions.
I'm telling you, he came in. I'm like, I have so much to say.
Yeah.
And why don't you ever do your dishes?
I don't know. I don't do that in real life either.
Wow. So many dishes.
I know. Okay, one spoiler. Kyle does start doing the dishes.
Okay.
Really?
Okay.
All right. Eventually does the dishes.
Thank God.
At one point.
That's good news because Allie was very troubled by it. He combed his hair. Wow, he's going crazy.
Okay. While we're talking about hair, what about Patrick's beard game, you guys? What about that? Am I right?
It's pretty serious.
It's impressive.
Yeah, it's good.
You could be in Mumford & Sons, dude.
Wait, is that the top for a beard grower?
I'm saying it's good.
Established now.
Do you like having the beard, Patrick?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know about that until I grew it out last year. I mean,
You didn't know about it?
I would have stubble and stuff like that.
Oh, you just never tried it?
Yeah, I would get a little scraggly. But before season one continued, Robert called me up and he's like, hey, so I don't know, like, what we're going to be doing for the second episode. So
that's such a good impression of him.
It really is.
He's like, just grow out your hair. Just don't cut your hair. Don't cut your beard or anything like that. So I had like a full on like
ZZ Top beard.
Yeah, no, not ZZ Top.
Well, you're like, motioning like it was down here, like mid chest.
I'm exaggerating.
Okay.
ZZ Top though, all the way to the shoes.
Yeah,
so I'm not sure that he's.
Yeah,
haven't checked in with
Duck Dynasty. Can we agree to Duck Dynasty?
Yeah, yeah. Let's settle on that.
All right.
I myself was impressed. I was like, oh, it can happen.
Hey, I can do that. That was literally the first time you ever tried to grow a beard.
Yes.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Did you tell Robert, I'm not positive how this is going to come out?
Yeah.
That's a strange request if you've never tried it before.
Yeah.
All right, we have to take a very quick break.
Oh, you're such a bad person.
Allie is going to formulate more 10 questions in one for our guest, Patrick Fugit. The program is called Outcast. It airs Friday nights at 10 on Cinemax, and it is outstanding, you guys. You think you've seen every angle on an exorcism show or movie. You haven't. This one is reinventing the genre, and it's great. More with Patrick right after this on K-1. Patrick Fugit in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. He is probably regretting the decision to come in by now. He is one of the stars of a great cast on Cinemax's Outcast Friday nights at 10. And you'll know which character is his, Kyle, because he's the one who's always hitting little kids in the face.
Yeah, that's beating them.
That's a weird thing.
I only hit one kid in
kids who are possessed. Mm-hmm. The key to throwing out the demon is to beat them up.
Who'd have thought?
They've been doing it wrong all these years. That's a weird thing. Did they have to come to you and say, no, this is really how it works? Or
Well, you know.
Because it doesn't really make sense.
No. I mean, I think that Kyle and Reverend are going to learn some better ways to deal with with their life problems.
Maybe use their words.
Yeah, using their words being one of them. In that instance, I mean, it's a combination of all these things that have been plaguing Kyle for, you know, decades, and it all sort of boils to a head there in that room. And it's also the kid, you know, the actor we got to play Joshua, Gabriel Bateman, is so
talented. He's amazing.
He was possessed.
Yeah. And it was important.
I don't think he was acting.
Yeah, no.
Oh.
Yeah, he's just really like that.
I think he's possessed.
It was important that he pulled off being menacing and threatening enough and all of that.
Yeah, I would have beat him up for sure.
Sure.
I was at home. I was scared.
Let's talk a little bit about the physicality of some of those exorcism scenes that you and the Reverend have been involved in. Those things look incredibly difficult to film. Are they tough for you?
They are. They can be a little bizarre. I mean, you know, each actor who is playing a possessed person will come in and be like, what happens when Kyle touches me? Some of the rules we have figured out, like some of the rules you can ask Robert and he's like, oh, yeah, this happens and then this happens. And some of them he's like, I don't know. I don't know about that.
It's on you.
Yeah, that's on you guys, the showrunners. You know, each actor that comes in is trying to find the physicality for it. But we've kind of gotten into a thing. You know what's great is Grace Zabriskie's take on the whole physicality.
Is she the creepiest old lady in the world?
She is the sweetest old lady, but she also is like a gypsy. She's like a legit...
Wait, is that Mildred?
Yeah.
Oh,
she's like
God.
A legit actor, you know.
No, she's... Yeah, amazing. Yeah,
grew up...
By the way, look up pictures of her from the 1940s,
oh,
and
dear.
You won't believe how beautiful
here
she
is. Here we
was.
Go.
No, right? No.
All no, right. Seriously.
He's yeah.
No,
yeah,
right, no, right. He's right. Taking it.
But you don't know him, so...
Yeah.
Trust us on this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
No comment.
Better.
So in this show, though, you now know just by touching someone that can seem totally normal if they are possessed just through your touch.
Yeah.
So that's new. But also with the breathing in, all these people try and breathe your breath, but are they trying to get stronger by taking the souls you've internalized that you've outcast from other people, but now they're in you?
Are they in you?
So I think about it like candle flames, right? Like as soon as they start like drawing that essence out of Kyle, it's like their candle starts to burn brighter.
Right.
And it's like they do find sustenance and energy from it.
What does it
deplete Kyle?
Right.
I don't know.
What's
you can ask
going back and
you
forth?
Can ask Robert.
And what would his,
I think
what
it's,
was
it's
his
soul.
Answer be?
It's the soul. Why are you laughing?
Allie's so serious right now. Take it easy.
But then once it does kind of go and it's gotten to the point where, oh no, it's over. This demon is now out of him. It turns into this black tar. Then it looks like birds. And then it just dissipates into the air. Where does it go?
We don't know yet.
But you know.
But okay. Robert knows.
Okay, but there are 10 episodes in this season,
yes,
right?
I want to know now.
Can you tell us, will we know the answer to that this season?
Will you know where the black goo goes?
Yeah, because there's like four left, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will we know what that black goo is? At first I thought it was blood, then I realized, no, it's not blood.
It's like the souls of all the outcast demons intertwined into one big gooey substance.
It's like a liquid tar.
Yes.
Sort of.
Yes.
It's soul tar.
We'll know more about it.
You will know more about it, but...
Okay, but we won't have all the answers.
Won't have all the answers.
Stupid Robert.
Well, they got another season.
God damn it.
They can't give us all the answers.
And didn't you get another season before it even premiered?
Yeah.
Which is kind of a nice thing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, you this is the voice of Patrick Fugit here on the Kevin Beach Show talking about Outcast on Cinemax Friday nights at 10. Now, you, if I remember correctly, have not yet had a scene that we've been able to watch with Brett Spiner, right?
Let's see. Nope, we've just been introduced to each other in episode 4.
Okay, briefly. So, he's the devil.
Could be.
I don't think he's a devil. I think Lucifer. He's one of the devil's
henchmen. No, I don't mean on the show. I just mean in person. The guy's a dick, right? Wait, you're saying you don't think he's not Satan, Allie? Is that what
I don't
you're saying?
Think he's Satan. I think he's one of Satan's minions, but I think he's one of the top level guys.
Patrick,
like CEO,
like a representative.
Maybe.
Patrick,
yes.
Satan or CEO?
Ooh,
or representative.
Tough to say.
Because you can't?
He's like, he's Lucifer personified.
Okay.
I feel like he's Lucifer adjacent.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he's on the show.
I feel like Patrick is on the show.
Oh,
maybe we should ask him.
You're right.
I'm just saying.
Well, he certainly is sharp dressed, I'll tell you that.
He is.
As the devil would be, I think.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, I love Robert Kirkman so much, and we've had him on the show for years and years and years. And what's beautiful about him is, and I think I made reference to this at the end of the last segment, which is he took the zombie genre and rewrote it and came up with all of his own rules on how that universe works.
Yeah.
And now he's done it again with something that's been covered and filmed so many times before with Exorcism and has really turned it into something that just feels real and current. And I just think that's genius.
I agree. I think that's awesome that you think that, because that's kind of what we intended.
And, I mean, also with The Walking Dead, like the Emmy nominations came out, and it's never been nominated for drama. And it's the most amazing thing in that it can pull 15 to 20 million people.
Yeah.
And it's gross. Most people wouldn't watch that, but they do because of the characters and the storytelling, and all of that deserves to be, you know.
Robert has a great soulful, heartful way of creating story and character.
And he's a super lighthearted guy, as you seem to be, and yet his shows are really dark. What's up with that?
Let me ask you one more thing about another character on the show, Outcast, and that is Robert's decision to set it in a small town, I think it's called Rome, right, in West Virginia.
Yeah.
And it is suffocating, that little town. And it almost plays a character because it's so creepy. And it's got those woods where things are going on. And I think that was such an interesting choice to put it there and to meet those small town people. I think they're so colorful and so interesting, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a huge aspect of it, is the, is the culture of small town America, and also that society and that community. You know, it's like everybody knows each other. Everybody's heard what happened to Kyle and his family. And
that's why you have to hide out.
Exactly. And, a lot of it is like relatability. If that can happen in this small town, Rome, West Virginia, then where else can it happen?
Can it happen?
I think Ali's seriously asking
you.
Yeah. Episode 6 is tonight. It's called From the Shadows It Watches. What can you tell us about that?
Whoa.
Is this news to you?
Did you not know that was the name of it?
Yeah, it's just called 106 when I read it.
From the Shadows It Watches.
From the Shadows It Watches.
What can you tell us about tonight?
I get to have some cool scenes with Grace.
Okay.
Okay.
I've seen it. I don't know if I'd say cool. I'll just say it right now.
I hope there's a love connection.
Oh, just you wait.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
excellent. Well, excellent.
Seriously, you couldn't be in a room with bigger fans. We love the work that you're doing, Patrick, and we love the show so much, and we're really encouraging our audience to check it out. Friday nights at 10 on Cinemax. It is called Outcast. Please come back and see us anytime, sir.
Thank you.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
The man who originally came up with the idea for the Ghostbusters movie.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Finally, someone giving me the credit I deserve.
He was talking about Dan Aykroyd. Dan Aykroyd is that man. And we will talk to him coming up next, just after 9, here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Right, but who told him?
It was just his idea.
You've got two thumbs and told Dan Aykroyd, do Ghostbusters.
Did you?
This guy.
I don't think so.
I don't believe that's
true. I don't think you were there.
All right, Ralph, I'll do it. He said to me.
Oh, okay. Now I believe it. Yeah.
Wrong. Hey, speaking of terrifying things, like you just were with Patrick about Outcast.
Yes.
This lights out. This freaking lights out.
Yay!
It's keeping me up at night already. I've just seen commercials. Just don't flicker the light. Don't turn the light off.
But right, I would sleep with the light on.
Because then scary 24/7. Spindly Taylor Swift lady comes at you with all her gangly limbs a-flying. And then you're like Calvin Harris. Next thing you know, you're done. You've been attacked. Right?
Right.
Who's with me?
Not positive.
Lights Out just looks like a horrifying new film. Teresa Palmer, Maria Bello stars. You've seen the commercials of the trailer. If you haven't, go to lightsoutmovie.com and check out the trailer, because it's your worst nightmare come to life. Every time the light goes down, the deadly scary lady comes to get you.
Yeah. The tagline says, you were right to be afraid of the dark. That's awesome.
I would staple glow sticks to my flesh. All right, maybe there's a better plan.
Yeah, I feel like maybe there's a lot of better ways.
Flashlight. I'm trying to say it.
Like a miner's light right there on your forehead.
Keep myself in light is what I would do. We're having we're not having anything. They're having the premiere of Lights Out at the TCL Chinese Theater on July 19th. If you'd like to go, let me give you some tickets right now. First five callers through at 1-800-520-1067. We've got a pair of passes to attend the premiere of Lights Out on July 19th. If you don't win, you should still go check it out in theaters everywhere on July 22nd. Speaking of tickets, all week long, we've been giving away tickets to the San Diego Comic-Con! And today is our last pair of tickets, so we wanted to make you earn it with a little game we like to call the Words You Heards.
Words you heard, yeah, words you heard, yeah, words you heard, yeah, now it's time to play. Words you heard, yeah, yeah, words you heard.
Ralph, I didn't hear this in the meeting, but the winners who go to Comic-Con, are they staying at the same hotel as us, or do we just meet up with them at the broadcast, or how is it going to work exactly with hanging out in San Diego?
This year...
Uh-huh.
Much like last year, we have been disappointed by the news that we will not be attending San Diego Comic-Con.
I thought that was our thing.
Yeah, it used to
go
be our
broadcast
thing.
From
at one time,
year.
It was a thing. Now it is an anti-thing.
It's less of a thing now than it was, say, 2 years
ago.
We are
now, as the French say, sans thing.
Okay. Is that what they say?
Yes.
But okay. We're still giving out passes to other people.
Right.
Okay.
Somehow,
all right.
We have it within our budget to give away tickets to strangers people won't even know. But to those of us in the family, it's stay-at-home time.
Okay. Hmm. All right. So if somebody's listening and wants to go, how do they win?
Well, we're going to give them our phone numbers, though, so they can call and go, this is really cool. Yeah. You should see it.
Be our correspondent.
Oh, guys, I'm seeing the Ecto-1 on the floor. Melissa McCarthy's nude.
Or something. I don't know what's going to happen exactly, but, you know, sure. The mind can play tricks on you.
Yeah.
We've been playing all morning a game called Words That Hurt.
Words you heard, yeah.
And... what I've been doing in each of the Showbiz Beats, I've been giving away one word for you to collect. It's random order. You have to collect all the words, put them in the right order, and come up with a phrase that is synonymous with something that having to do with Comic-Con, either something from a comic book or comic book character or a science fiction or fantasy TV show or movie. It is from that genre, and you need to identify it. In each hour, I'm giving you a word. This is another word. I'm not going to give you the other two words we already gave up. If you weren't here, you weren't here, man. What do you want me to do? So here's this hour's word. This hour's word is...
final. Words you heard, yeah.
I didn't. I missed it. I didn't.
Oh, man.
I didn't hear the word.
The words you heard. All right. The word for this hour is...
words you heard, yeah.
Did you get it?
I didn't hear it.
Did you get that time?
No.
Well, you can't win anyway. It doesn't matter if you hear it.
Well, I don't think anyone heard it.
I think people heard
it. Let's try it one more time.
All right. This.
Words you heard.
Let him say it. Hours. Let him say the word.
Words you heard.
Pete's mad.
Because he doesn't like chaos.
Drums.
He doesn't like chaos. He doesn't like shenanigans.
He hates it.
Like tomfoolery.
Anything fun, he just gets tired of.
It's random. It's not happening in sync. There's no.
He's not in control.
It's not a buttoned up.
Okay, now the drums are going to run out.
Asshole.
Now that's not the word you heard.
Come on.
Final. That's the word. Final.
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 Okay.
Final.
So the word is vinyl.
No.
Final.
What? Final.
It's F as in
final. Final. Got it. Yeah.
So catch them all is what you're saying.
Yes.
Put all four words together, right. Put them in the right order, and win the tickets to come.
I think I covered that. Really?
I just wanted to recap.
I'm pretty sure.
Words you heard, yeah.
Don't listen to celebrities when it comes to health. I think that's a good
tip.
That's a good motto to live your life by. It's better to receive medical advice from professionals. Not...
why do I feel like Jenny McCarthy might be back in the news?
No, this is a different bunch. This isn't your vaccine deniers. This is a group of celebrities who just believe wholeheartedly...
politics?
In cryotherapy.
Oh.
Cryotherapy.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Cryotherapy is a chamber... that you get into that is negative 200 degrees, and you stay there for 3 minutes, and stars like Daniel Craig, Mandy Moore, Alicia Keys, Cristiano Ronaldo, they all have been very vocal and diehard believers in the fact that they can aid in weight loss, help depression, and cure a variety of illnesses.
Joe Rogan told us about this.
Yeah, weren't you going to go do that with him at one point, Kevin?
Yep.
The cryotherapy chamber will save your life, claim actors and singers who don't know anything about medicine. Well, the FDA has released a report this morning saying, hey, you know that cryotherapy chamber? Don't go in there. They've never cleared it or approved it, and they say potential hazards. This may happen to you. Asphyxiation, frostbite, burns, and eye injuries. People's eyes have been freezing.
Is that good?
No.
I feel like no.
Okay, so it's not good.
And they don't know the effects, long-term effects on a patient's heart rate, blood pressure, or metabolism. Oh, they say regular use could actually have adverse effects on all of those.
That isn't good for you.
So when Alicia Keys says, hey, get inside my chamber.
Wait.
If she's about the cryo chamber, don't do it. She's talking about her thermo chamber, and by all means,
have at.
Load up.
Stop.
Right?
Why would you do that to me? Why do you look at me?
It wasn't really to you as much as
it was right to me.
Well, I mean,
I thought maybe you were confused about what I was talking about.
No,
I got
it.
Maybe you need some clarification.
I did not.
All right.
Why do some people tune out?
Well, they're missing. Hey, if they're tuning out on this show right now, they're missing out. Because this is the most entertaining we've been all week.
Yes, and Bean hates this one.
No.
Hey,
could you please tighten this up and make it appropriate and on time?
Kevin Bean Lister, Sarah
Ralph. We need order.
Has already figured out the words she hurts.
Oh, well, too bad. You got to call in and the last showbiz beat.
She's got three of those words already. She knows what the fourth one's going to be, so she's primed. She's ready.
Well, around 9:45 in the final showbiz beat of the week, we will open up the phone lines, and you will unscramble those words and put them together for a prize-winning
thing.
Words you heard, yeah.
Today's 9:01 in 13 seconds, Ralph.
I don't like this shenanigans. Celebrity birthdays, look them up. They're on the internet.
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey!
That kind of worked.
Almost.
Yeah.
It's pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Nicely done.
Right.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:35.
It's our favorite time of the whole week. The final showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
Should we do the thing with the thing?
We should do the thing with the thing.
Yes. Do the thing. Okay.
And by the way, to answer your question, Ralph, yes, lawyers called and said, you know, we copyrighted that, so we own it, so you can't say it anymore.
It was a question that he asked off the air.
Right, but then the song ended, and I didn't have time to answer him. So Ralph,
okay.
Ralph won't talk to me again until Monday morning.
Okay.
Last chance.
Usually we get like 25% into the last showbiz beat before we fall right apart. Not today.
We are, right?
Not yet.
Stepped on the hoverboard after it burst into flames.
Correct. That's how we roll.
Okay. All morning long, we've been playing a game called Words That You Heard.
Words you heard, yeah. Words you heard, yeah. Words you heard, yeah. Now it's time to play. Words you heard, yeah. Words you heard.
All morning long in the show is beat. I've been giving you one random word that you needed to collect. And then when you collected them all, you just unscramble them, put them in the right order. Mm-hmm. And you should have a phrase that pertains somehow to Comic-Con, meaning that it's a popular phrase or quote from a comic book character or a sci-fi character, a fantasy film or TV show, that sort of thing.
And so, what are the three words you've given out so far?
I'm not telling anybody.
Oh,
nope.
Okay.
You had to be listening.
You had to be listening. I will give the fourth and final word, though, right now. And once I do, then we're going to clear the lines.
Okay.
And the first caller who gets through with the correct phrase will win a pair of passes to the San Diego Comic.
Words you heard, yeah.
It's almost impossible to get these tickets. So, hope you appreciate the fact that you're going and we're not.
Words you heard, yeah.
Looking at you, sales. The final word of Words You Heard is...
Love your passion, sales.
Frontier. Frontier is the word.
Frontier.
Now you have all the words. Unscramble them, put them back in the correct order, and let us know what the phrase is that we're referring to. Let's clear the lines right now. And then the first person who gets through with the correct phrase from the Words You Heard will be going to Comic-Con. In the meanwhile, let's talk about some showbiz news. Speaking of Comic-Con, the changes continue at Marvel Comics. You know, I've been telling you, Tony Stark is now a black teenage girl.
Mm-hmm.
Not Tony Stark, but Iron Man.
So that's odd.
That would be quite a story arc, wouldn't it? He's transitioning. Iron Man is now an African-American female teen named Riri Williams. Ms. Marvel is now a Muslim. Thor is a woman. Spider-Man is a half-black, half-Hispanic teenager. So they're just rebooting all their characters, brand new. The Hulk is a Korean-American teenage genius named Amadeus Cho.
Okay.
So everybody's different now.
So it comes and what's it all mean? Like, what's the point of all of this?
The point being
what does it all mean?
Is Amity needs summer dollars. That's what it means. It means that Marvel is trying to bolster perhaps sagging comic book sales by rebooting a lot of the characters and then making those characters more accessible, more recognizable to a more disparate audience of readers. So if they include more minorities, more women, that they are attracting a fresh audience to these comic book characters.
Gotcha.
So, and another change, looks like Marvel is killing off Hulk's alter ego, Bruce Banner. Dr. Bruce Banner apparently will be killed.
He's just always
so
the Hulk?
So he's always mad, then.
No, he's going to be killed. There is. I just told you there's a new Hulk.
Amadeus Cho. But the new Hulk is Bruce Banner when he's mad, so the new Hulk is just always in a state of mad.
No, the new Hulk is Amadeus Cho.
He can't be mad because he's Asian? You're rude.
No, we're not talking about him. We're talking about Bruce Banner, the old Hulk. The old Hulk's alter ego, Bruce Banner, is apparently in the latest issue of Civil War II, killed.
That's right, brother.
No.
I think that's Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan. Not Bruce Banner. I don't even see why they're even close. Why anyone would even make the confusion. Yeah.
I don't know who any of those people are.
So, apparently a new Civil War II, the Avengers are fighting. Once again, they're divided into two opposing teams and fighting. And spoilers, Hawkeye shoots Bruce Banner with an arrow, killing him.
From MASH?
Yes. Yeah.
Alan Alda shows up with a bow and arrow.
They really are rebooting this.
You're the worst.
Okay.
Why do some people tune out?
George Takei is going to be on stage. He's going to star in an off-Broadway revival of the Stephen Sondheim musical Pacific Overtures. So we get George Takei singing again. That's what we want. Remember when he had that album of country songs? I remember we all thought it was a joke. Then we talked to him on the phone and we listened to some of his music. And he played us a clip from one of those country songs.
Well, then George
Takei did. And I remember we were all surprised at how much we enjoyed that music.
How great is male ass?
That was a song that no one expected. But now he's going to be back on stage performing in a musical, and I, for one, am looking forward to it. Bruce Willis, he's got a movie in the works. His next movie will be called First Kill. Now listen, it's a departure for Willis. It's going to be an action film where Bruce plays a local police chief who must solve a kidnapping before a child is killed. So
did
he
you
takes
say it was,
out the bad guys?
You say it was different.
Where
for
it
him?
Is, he's carrying a gun in this film.
Oh,
so good for you, Bruce Willis, for expanding. Stretching.
I feel like it's been a long time since I've seen him in a film.
You know what he does now? I don't mean to cast any aspersions, just because he's a dick.
Just karaoke?
Just because
I'm sorry,
he's a
what?
Dick.
Nothing. He does a lot of direct-to-DVD films now.
Oh, really?
Whoa. Because he has a huge audience in overseas.
Is that right?
Asia, specifically. And so they release them as DVDs here in the States, and then they release them as feature films overseas in Asia and make enormous bank.
No kidding.
Yeah, tremendous box office draw over there.
Don't you feel like there would be an audience out there in America for the right Bruce Willis movie?
I suppose. And I think maybe this one will hit theaters. But the reason you say you haven't seen it for a while, it doesn't mean he hasn't been working. It's just he's been working
on
some lesser fare, I guess you could say. I told you a story, how he dicked me, right? I told you that story.
I'd like to hear it again.
Real quickly. I was asked by some very talented writers and directors to appear in a feature film starring Mr. Bruce Willis. And they sent me the cast and said, this is going to be your role. It's kind of fun. It's kind of right up your alley. You play sort of a sleazy motel clerk, and Bruce Willis is a private detective, and he comes up to you and he's trying to get information out of you. And so it's going to be one of those things where you don't want to talk to him, and then he slides you a 20 and he loosens you up, and you have a little funny repartee back and forth. And I said, this is going to be awesome. Not only do I get to work with the great Bruce Willis, but it's got a scene that features he and I bouncing back and
forth.
And
just the two of you.
How exciting. Couldn't be more excited. So I go down there and I get my wardrobe and I'm sitting in the trailer and I'm there and I'm sitting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm sitting and I'm waiting and I hear a knock at my trailer door and I open it up And there is one of the directors who comes to me and says, "Oh, we have a bit of an issue. We're gonna cut this scene." And I said, "Oh, really?" He said, "Yeah, because Bruce said it's never going to appear in the film." I said, "That's strange." He goes, "I asked Bruce," and the guy says to me, "I asked Bruce, well, why isn't it going to appear? Why do you think it'll appear in the film?" And Bruce said, "Because I'm not shooting it," and walked off the set.
Huh?
Did not
just
like,
for no reason.
Didn't like that scene. So he said, "We feel bad. What we're going to do is we're going to recast you in this role instead. This is a very funny role."
Maybe he just hates you.
This is a the role of a homeless guy who runs across Willis as a private detective when he's on the down low and helps him out. And it's a funny little thing. You're back and forth. You're kind of a crazy, funny homeless guy. And we're going to dirty up and put muck and stuff all over. I said, "This is going to be awesome. This is better than the other thing. I get to work with Bruce Willis and I get to be a wacky homeless person. I'm pushing a shopping cart. This is going to be awesome." So I show up to the set a couple days later, and they put stuff all over me, and they got me in rags, and they dirtied me up, and I got gunk in my hair and under my fingernails, and I got my thing, and I'm working on my lines, and I'm sitting in my trailer, and I'm sitting in my trailer, and I'm sitting in my trailer, and I'm sitting in my trailer. And then there's a knock on my trailer door, and I go, "Yeah, what's going on?" They go, "Yeah, Bruce said this scene isn't going to make it in the movie either." And I said, "Let me guess why it's not going to make it in the movie. Because he's decided he's not going to shoot it." And they said, "Bingo. Thanks so much for your time, and thanks for coming down."
So did the movie end up being 15 minutes?
Nope. It's a movie, and it's going to be out soon, and I'm sure it's going to be wildly entertaining. The script is hilarious, and the guys who are working on it are terrifically talented writers and directors.
Did you get the idea that he didn't like the scene or that he didn't like the actor?
It's hard not to take it personally, really, that somehow, some way, Bruce Willis may have somehow caught wind of me and my work in some way and decided to.
Nope.
That he was not going to sully his reputation by working with me. It's hard not to take it personally.
Well, you have trashed him for 10 years.
I have not. How dare you, sir?
Since Cop Out, you've been trashing
Bruce
Willis. I'm a
huge fan of his and his work.
Is it possible he caught wind, as you say, of the things you've said about him over the years?
All I know is it's there aren't a lot of actors who've been fired twice off the same film. That's all I know.
It's a badge of honor, really.
I can put that in my quiver. Right.
What? You can pull that out whenever you need
exactly.
it. Exactly. That's so sweet.
I got that going for me, which is nice. Let's give away our thing, huh? You want to give away a thing?
Yeah.
Words you heard, yeah.
Words you heard. Tickets to Comic-Con. We gave away the words all morning long. We told you what words to listen for. No, we didn't. We just told you to listen for words, and and they were there, and you listened, and you got them. And those words were the, space, final, and frontier.
What could that be?
Descramble those, won't you, Brandon and Chino? Hey, Brandon?
Yeah.
Hey, Brandon. What were the words you heard?
Space, the final frontier.
Ah, space, the final frontier.
Space, the final frontier.
Well done, sir. You heard the words, and now you're you're going to Comic-Con. Thanks for listening, Brandon. Hold on, we're going to give the details, okay?
Yeah.
He's happy.
You should get a new phone, though.
You should do that while he's down there. They got good deals.
They do.
San Diego Comic-Con Convention Center, by the way, is next week, July 22nd through 24th. Go to comic-con.org for all the details.
Cannot wait.
Yeah, it's going to be very exciting.
We're going to have a blast,
you
guys.
To those who are there, where they will really enjoy it.
Oh.
Today's celebrity birthday is Taylor Kinney from Chicago Fire is 35 years old today. Travis Fimmel for Vikings is 37. You know, all morning long, I've been hearing noises from this side of the room every time we mention Travis Fimmel from Vikings.
Yep.
It's very strange. Mm. We should have this place fumigated because I think there's some pests around. I keep hearing noises in the walls. Ray Toro's 39 from My Chemical Romance. Who's their guitarist? Diane Kruger's 40. Gabriel Iglesias, one of our favorites. He is 40 years old today. John Dolmayan from System of a Down is 43.
Oh, come on, lady.
Brian Austin Green, also 43 today. Scott Foley's 44. Comedian Eddie Griffin turns 48. Forrest Whitaker, a talent, a towering talent, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
What a great actor. 55 years old. And Terry O'Quinn from Lost. You remember him from as Locke. 64 years old today.
Wow.
Wow.
All those stars born on today. July 15th. I am Ralph Garman. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. And that's the Showbiz Beat.
Thank you. The SoCal helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win this afternoon with a commercial-free drive home starting at 5 p.m. here on the world-famous K-Rock. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
pass it over to me.
If you really suck at something, you probably shouldn't do it.
Go bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I don't like mosquitoes.
Roll another one.
I don't know that I've ever watched the news.
Just like the other one.
Obviously.
This one seems to be about to quit.
That's real talk right there, man.
And I read that and I was all, huh? And then I was like, ah.
And then she goes, what?
And then I go, huh? He was like, what? And I'm all, no.
Roll another one.
Does anybody really know what time it is?
Just like the other one.
Go back below.
This one seems to be about to end.
CBS cares.
I don't have another cent.
Y'all don't have to go home, but y'all can't stay here.
Hey, how about the Beatles?
Yeah, right?
Just pass it around.
Just let it go.
Love the passion.
Just pass it on down.
I'm going to bounce for an hour. Adam Carolla is signing Man Show DVDs down at the local Petco.
And what's going on very big and big league is what you witnessed today. And over the last week.
Man, you guys were hilarious.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you. How come you don't have your own podcast?
Sorry, we're out of time.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Well, so there you have it. Blah. So there you have it, K-Rock audience. And I don't think I screwed it up.
I don't like mosquitoes.
Go Ducks. Bye, guys.
Aww.